Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
New Year's Eve, 2021, New York City. Usually, I'm in Brazil. The last 4 or 5 years that's been the case, but this year, I'm here. Last month, my mother went into the hospital, and thank God, all went well. She's been suffering from dementia, and now she's in hospice state. My mind said, well, hey, you know what? I need to be here. My beloved mother, like everybody who thinks their mother's the greatest, and no mine's is, and so blessed to have her. So I'm here this year to be there for support for my mother and support and comfort for my sister and brothers. So this is my first show from New York City at this time of the year. Years. These are becoming live out of Fortaleza, Brazil, off from São Paulo. This is the last show of 2021, and my little posse's with me. Big A, Little Pete, you know, Pete started because they called and they were like, "Wow, Doc, I never seen questions." What I like so much is they understand that the superstar is the gentleman whose birthday we celebrated on the 25th. Long story with that too, you know, because that's really not his birthday. His birthday is more like in October, but it was a date adapted, from a pagan holiday. But Summer Madness. Weather is nice here today. Says it's going to stay that pretty nice here during the New Year. New Year's weekend. Had some good weather, too. We had a couple of cold days in the past, but it really hasn't been that cold. It's opening. We opened with a song. Then we got Pete, Big A, another call here, too. But Sam Cooke opens up with us, the greatest male gospel singer of all time. Talks about the greatest person of all time.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible days. She had been sick so very long. But she heard now Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
DMX leads us in prayer. Open our last show.
Father God, I am just learning how to pray. Bear with me. First, I thank you for the life of everyone that's here with me. Then I thank you for the love you give me. Why? I don't know. I don't deserve it, and it hurts inside. Many a nights I cried and called your name out loud, but didn't call you when I was doing good, too proud. And still you gave me love. I wasn't used to that. Most of the people that gave me love ended up taking it back. That's something new to me. So I'm asking you for time to adjust. Let me make it there. I will be one you can trust. What I stand for, I put my life on. I do. I guess what I'm asking is, show me how to stand for you. And I will rap for you, sing for you, reach for you, preach for you, teach for you. I will love you like you love me, unconditionally. And I will always be prepared for whatever the mission will be. Give the nutrition to me, and I'll properly digest it. And when I give it back, I will show you word well invested. And whenever I go, before I go, let me give. Thanks to you, Lord, for my birth, for every day that I've lived. You gave me a love most of my life I didn't know was there. I give you my life because you cared. Amen.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
Meu nome é Doc Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Stanley Swanson at Blog Talk Radio, Trusting God. Now we got to thank Little Pete, Big A. You know, Pete's calling us. Hey, you know, wow, it's the 31st. And, you know, so often I get on the phone with these guys, these young gentlemen, and it's really a very educational conversation. And so I said, Pete, let's do it. And I said, wow, wait a minute, it's the last day of the year. I wouldn't have been here. Little Pete, I got you here. Big A is with us too.
Yeah, Doc, how you
Pete?
Doing?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Doc, Pete. Okay, I got another call here, 475 call. Who's that now?
My brother.
Doc,
oh, okay.
What's up? It's Mike Jr.
Yeah, yeah, MJ. MJ. MJ, your dad is GW, so GW. Okay, gentlemen, Doc Stanley Sports Lab. Really want to thank Pete because, you know, man, I haven't done a show in a while, last day of the year, and I just like you come in, you sound like me. But, Pete, you know, you call me on the phone. Shoot it. Start it off, Pete. Little Pete, start it, baby. Start it off.
All right, so, Doc, the main topic that I want to discuss today is, me, Big A, and MJ have our disagreements on who's the best player of all time. And I try to tell him, listen, I love Michael Jordan. I love LeBron James. But Wilt Chamberlain had a game where he had 52 points, 14 rebounds. I mean, not 14 rebounds. He had
34 rebounds. 52 points, 34 rebounds.
32 rebounds, 14 assists, 24 blocks, and 11 steals. That's five double-digit numbers. No one's put up numbers like that.
No one has. Mary Boykin always talks about that, you know. The idea of, you know, because there's so many people, Julius Erving and George Gervin is the greatest players, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There's a horde who thinks it's Jordan. There's a good contingency that thinks it's Chamberlain. Chamberlain says he thinks it's Russell. Marion Boykin talked about too, is that, you know, you're going to have that. Julius Erving had a really, in fact, Big A, I thought I had, are you still on WhatsApp, or you went off?
No, I'm still on, Doc.
Under what name are you under?
Let me see real quick.
No, I thought you did, because I was looking for this, because Julius Erving had a good interview.
Oh, it reset when I got my new phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking, yeah, because I didn't see you, you know, so you got to put yourself back on. And Julius Erving talked about, he said a couple of things that were there, and Marion Boykin talked about that. Yeah, they had something about last year this time. The greatest small forwards of all time. I don't buy the small forward, power forward stuff, but Dr. J, Elgin Baylor, honorable mention. Honorable mention. Honorable mention. So the greatest forward of all time is Elgin Baylor, the guy who followed in the steps and the reason why of the NBA-ABA merger, Julius Erving. And Julius said something, too. When they did a documentary on the beginning of the NBA, they started in the 90s. You didn't see Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Jerry West, Walt Frazier, Monroe. It was the 90s. And you even knocked out Dr. J, and he talked about that, is that, you know, as time goes on, those guys are going to be not even talking the conversation. I mean, you know, and Oscar Robertson, somebody said something, too, about Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a great shooter. But, you know, back in the day, they went out and got him. He's not shooting that uncontested.
Doc, let me tell you something. With Curry's a phenomenal basketball player. He's actually, in my opinion, listen, he's great, okay? He's actually, in my opinion, a top 3 point guard of all time. And honestly, Doc, but here's the thing.
I think
Oscar Robertson would have easily played the perimeter defense well on Steph Curry.
Well, see, that's the thing that somebody said. I think Jabbar talked about that, too. Back in the day, Frazier, Monroe, Dumas, Isaiah, West. Yeah. I mean, you're going to go out there and get him. He's going to make guys are going to go through the screen and up, too. Like, he can shoot. He's a great shooter. Made the greatest shooter of all time, possibly. One of the great players of all time. But, you understand, too, and Kareem talked about that, too. Nobody plays with their back to the basket. Julius talked about that. He said, you know, I wouldn't want to coach today because, you know, a team that's shooting 30% from the three-point line, okay, thinks they're playing basketball. You know,
well, Doc,
George Gervin.
Doc, I just want to kind of cut in for 1 second.
Come on, MJ. No, that's what we're talking about, baby. Come on.
When you say the back to the basket, the game has changed. I think that, to me, plays the biggest part in how we look at players from an era of, say, the 60s, 70s to a player playing in 2021, going now on to 2022. To compare those eras fairly is very hard because, you know, Lil Pete just said earlier in the show about Wilt Chamberlain, you're 100% late. No one will ever reach that amount of rebounds
points
in a game. And these numbers are unheard of, but now we have to look at when Wilt Chamberlain was playing and when Dr. J was playing, when these players were playing versus you look at an NBA game now. See, sometimes I just get anxious watching it because it's so fast. The pace of the game has increased to a point where...
It's true, but the point is nobody's... There's two things here, and Isaiah talked about it, too. Nobody's playing defense.
Everybody's shooting threes.
No, you're 100% right. I'm well, a Doc, you know, I'd like to say one thing. It's Little Pete, by the way.
You think Uncle Doctor doesn't know your voice? You're good, Little Pete. Doc Stanley, Sports and Broad Talk Radio. It's the last show of 2021. I got Little Pete and the crew. Big A. Little Pete and MJ. Come on now. Go ahead, fellas.
All right. So, Doc, now going back to that whole thing about how the game has changed. All right. Now, I got in there. There's 3-pointers being taken there. But to sit here and say that Will Chamberlain didn't play in a competitive era, he had Bill Russell that he was playing against. Bob Pettit, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West.
Oscar Robertson said, I played in the era of the best players. When you do the 50 greatest players, most of the guys are from that era. When you talk about in Chamberlain's era, besides Russell, there was Nate Thurman, Bob Lanier, Kareem came along, Willis Reed. Nobody talks about the great Walt Bellamy, Clifford Ray. You had a horde. It's remarkable to me, gentlemen, that people talk about how great Magic is at 6'9", how great Durant is at 7 feet, and they applaud their height, but you take away from Chamberlain's height and Oscar Robertson's height. You know what I mean? You said, well, you know,
see,
Oscar was a big guard,
and
Chamberlain, you act like they had no ability. But you applaud Magic.
I disagree.
You applaud Durant for being tall. You know, Magic, the tallest guard, and understand this, you know, Magic Johnson, I remember the guy, Magic Johnson was not the first big guard in basketball. The first big guards in the history of basketball, legendary Oscar Robinson, also Jerry West. They came out of college as All-American forwards and went to the guard spot, had no problem, okay? And then the other big guard was Walt Frazier, and then the first tall big guard was George Gervin. So Magic wasn't the first big guard.
Forget about Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Yeah, but no, Earl wasn't a big guard, though. You know, when you jump in, talking about big guard. We're talking about the guy 6'5 or more.
All right, so, Doc, you say, you know, there's all these sizable guards, but there's also
Pete, let's stop. Let's listen to the conversation here. Let's listen to the conversation. We're talking about big guards. We're talking about guys who were taller than the perception of the guard's supposed to be. They weren't 6'2". They went to Oscar came in at 6'5", an All-American forward to the guard spot, as did the great Jerry West. Okay? Those were your first big guards. They were bigger. They were stronger than the other guards because the guard, they were forwards in college. Okay? So that tells you right there. They weren't guards. They were forwards in college. And they come in and play guard with no problem. Then the next big guard, same thing, Walt Frazier, All-American forward, goes to guard. And then there was Gervin. Okay? I think he was 6'7". You know, so those were your first big guys who were unconventionally tall. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Guys who were bigger than what the average height was at that position. Those were the first big guards. Earl wasn't a big guard. He wasn't as tall as Oscar. He was one of the greatest guards. Okay, Earl, Clyde was a big guard. West really was bigger than what he's perceived. But you know, we're talking about guys who were tall. Like they're talking about Magic. Magic is the greatest point guard of all time. And since now, hey, you can have Magic. I got Oscar. Robertson.
I understand what you're saying, Doc.
I understand what you're saying, Doc.
I think Oscar's better than Magic.
MJ, come on, MJ.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying as far as the size of the guards. But you look at the game back then. It was a much more conventional style of play with you had a center. You had a traditional center. You had someone bringing the ball up, a guard. You had a shooting guard. People played more position ball, I feel like.
Back in those days, you didn't have a shooting guard. You have a point guard. You had a guard. Back in those days, MJ, how could you be a guard that couldn't dribble, had no jump shot? There was no point guard issue. You was a guard. I can handle the ball. I can shoot the ball. Small forward, power forward. He was a forward. You know, today's game, he's a one, he's a two, he's a three, he's a four. Joe Dumas.
But I feel like
when they asked Joe Dumas when he joined the Pistons, they said, are you a point guard or shooting guard? Joe said, I'm a guard. I'm a point guard. I'm a guard. I mean, so, you know, and now here's the thing. And it's funny. The guys today couldn't play in the game they played yesteryear. The guys of yesteryear could play. Isaiah Thomas said, I'd love to play today. First of all, there's no hand checking.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I agree with the whole defensive.
So now you get
a lot less physical.
Now
we use that in the sense that, okay, you're right, there is no hand checking. So now we got to ask ourselves, if there is no hand checking and there is none of these tappy-tappy, which I don't like, I'll be the first to say it, but how would these defenders be able to adjust to those rules and adapt to play? Would they be as dominant of defenders? So I'm not taking away.
That's the whole key. There's, with no defense, it's working both ways. I mean, listen, I asked Dave DeBusschere, if Chain was around today, how many points could he average 50 points a game? And Dave DeBusschere slammed his glass down like I called him a motherfucker. I see Dave now. He slammed his glass down. He said no.
Would you think
he'd be able to keep up with the pace of the game? What pace of the game? There's no problem with the pace of the game.
There's no pace.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
What pace? You run up and down the floor shooting long shots.
And you see,
Julius said, what's the best the team is shooting? 30%? At three-pointers, everybody shooting
what
jump
I'm
shots.
Doc, we had very reliable competition, and a pace of the game is the pace of the game. The pace of the game doesn't change, whether it's we're in the 70s, whether in
the You're not watching the same speed of basketball that you were watching just 20, 25 years ago. I watched
Yeah, but MJ, nobody's running up and down the floor if Oscar's controlling the ball, if Wes is controlling the ball, if Frazier controlling the ball.
Okay.
If I got Jabbar, I mean, Chamberlain used to say, I would grab a rebound, throw it down court, go to half court so I could come back and play defense. Nobody plays defense nowadays, and everybody's a jump shot shooter. You got six, seven-footers. I mean, Berg was a great outside shooter, but that was part of his arsenal resume. But everybody today is shooting for the three.
Even centers. You play stretch. You stretch all five.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But the point is, where's the rebound, though? Where's the defense? There's nobody.
I see the same problem. So many offensive rebounds because there's no center in the paint. I'm a Lakers fan, and I'll be the first to say I get nauseous watching us lose rebounds to these smaller teams because we have big men. They're just not in the paint.
But that's the way the game's played. I mean,
I disagree with it. But I'll be the first to say, if you were to throw Wilt Chamberlain in an offense that needed to be played like that in this era, I don't know if he'd be able to have the stamina to run that much.
I'm glad you said that. Because in the year that Wilt Chamberlain had his 50 points and 25 rebounds, he was averaging 55. He averaged 48.5. He played
incredible
every minute of every game. Guys were in great shape. Those guys, and you have to understand something. I said this too. You know, let's look at this. You know, are we concerned about stamina, really? Between your timeouts, between the other team's timeouts, between the balls going out of bounds, between the TV timeouts, there's no problem about stamina.
Okay.
There's no problem about stamina. Half of these guys are nowhere near. That's one thing that makes LeBron such a monster. He's so much physically better than a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys, you know, they're in good shape, but they're no physical
LeBron
specimen.
Spends over $1 million a year on his body.
Yeah, but you know what? All that's well and good, too, MJ. Dr. Danny spoke to Blog Talk Radio Trust Network.
No, I'm just saying.
Talking to Little Posse, MJ, Little Pete, and Big A. You know, all that physical stuff is great. If you ain't got the talent, it don't mean nothing. You know, you got your
exactly.
If you
Doc,
can't
Doc,
play.
Doc, I'm going to tell you one thing, Doc. I have it off the tip of my head. Doc, it's Little Pete. Just give me 1 minute. I want to say what I got to say. All right?
Go ahead.
Now,
go ahead.
When you bring up talent, right? All right? You see, this is why I like Oscar so much, okay? Oscar Robertson was able to use his talent at his size. And that's why he was so successful. Now, Magic Johnson, I love Irving. But I think Irving didn't use his full potential as much as Oscar did. Now, Irving's great. Irving's the second best point guard of all time. But Oscar Robertson used his size. And that's why he had a jump shot. Oscar had a jump shot. He was able to grab rebounds, and he had more assists. All right? And on top of that, the assists were way different back then.
No, listen, listen. I you know, Julius Erving said something when they asked him who's his top five players, his top five players. He said, my top five are the same top five now that I had when I was 15 years old, and they'll all be my top five.
Huh.
It's Chamberlain, Russell, Elgin Baylor, his favorite, Jerry West, and Oscar Robertson. There's no team you can form. You can have Magic and Jordan in the backcourt, have Kareem in the middle, and Duncan and Bird up front. That was the all-time all-star team, which is remarkable to me. You know what I mean? But you can have them guys. Nobody beats that team that Julius has put right there. No, and with Connie Hawkins, that's a sixth man. Nobody beats that team. There's no numbers today, MJ, of any great forward you can name that has better numbers than both Elgin Baylor and a guy, and, you know, here's a white guy that's showing disrespect, Bob Pettit. Bob Pettit averaged 26-16 a career. Okay, let's check out these great guys now. Bird was 24-10. So Pettit has got six more rebounds and two more points. Tim Duncan, 19-10. Oh, my goodness. Six more rebounds and seven more points. Okay, we've got who was it? Charles Barkley, 21-11. So Pettit's got five more points and five more rebounds than Charles Barkley. Elvin Hayes, 21-11. Five more points. And nobody mentions Bob Pettit. But, I mean, you're talking about Karl Malone averaged, I think, 11 rebounds a game and 21 points. Again, five more rebounds. That's a power forward. If you're talking about power forward, 26-16, that's a power forward. 26 points, 16 rebounds, career. But those guys weren't power forwards and small forwards. They were forwards. You know, we take too much of these guys that they, like I said, Curry has brought in a whole new dimension. But the point is he shooting that three with Oscar in his face and Clyde in his face and Wes out there. You know, guys, you know, like I'm saying, don't take
Jack,
it
I feel like
ability.
He's definitely not
nobody,
there's love, man.
Between there being no defense and nobody playing defense, it ain't hard to score points.
Hey, Doc, can I trip in a little bit?
Go ahead, MJ. Yeah, baby, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Ant, Big A.
Big A. Sorry, Big A. Go ahead, baby. Use the quiet
bar. Yeah,
that's
right. Mm-hmm. So, like, going on to what we were talking about earlier about, like, you know, the talent from between here and back then. Let me tell you, these kids, like, coming in now from, like, even in high school, too, they got all the talent in the world and, like, even, like, they pull off moves that even some NBA guys can't do. And when they come into the league for, like, and this is why they make these rules that for defenses that, like, kind of benefit them so they don't have to play that much. Well, obviously they still have to play, but, like, it's not the same, really, as it was back then. Because, like, let me tell you, the guys back then knew how to play the game. And that's why people now are coming in. They have to develop, and it takes years. And that's why they bust so quickly.
You bring up a tremendous point. Dr. Stanley Sports Neff, last show of 2021, it's a little posse. Lil Pete, Big A, and MJ. You're right. Hold on a second. What's up, Dusty? I'll call you right back. Don't move.
Dusty.
I understand, too. The caliber of play is not as good as yesterday because of the saturation of expansion. You don't have the best, and you just brought up a good point. Guys come in, I mean, imagine if Oscar and Wes and Chamberlain and Russell and Baylor and Pettit and Wilkins and Havlicek could have got out of college early. Okay? So you got guys today who basically don't have any fundamentals like the yesteryear because you got a small forward and a power forward. What's the big difference? You got a point guard and a shooting guard. So I got Lil Pete who just dribbles, MJ who just shoots. That was unheard of back in the day.
No, exactly.
Unheard of.
No, that's.
I mean, how could you be a guard and you can't dribble? How could you be a guard with no jump shot? But it's all right now. Don't worry about it, Lil Pete. And then you got specialists. Okay? I'm bringing Big A off the bench just to play defense. That's all. Just play defense. You know, so guys, you know, like the game has changed so much. Because now I'm not concerned about Little Pete playing defense because I just need him to bring the ball up the floor. And MJ, I ain't worried about him shooting jump shots. I just need rebounds from him. And Big A, I just need defense from him. So you're not learning the fundamentals of the game. And you look back at the guys. Like I said, Oscar said, yo, looks like Oscar, what kind of guard would you be today? A shooting guard, a point guard? Oscar said, a guard's a guard. Today's game, you got a guy, Mark Jackson, brings the ball up the floor, and then he passes to Reggie Miller. Oscar Robertson proved to be the quintessential guard, period, when he retired. Okay? He was the second highest scorer in history of the game. There's just points. Second highest scorer in the history of the game. Only team that scored more points. And he didn't average 20 points in the last 3 years. He still had a 25.7 lifetime scoring average. There's your shooting guard. There's your shooting guard. Now, what about your passing guard? Here you go again about Oscar. He was the all-time leader in assists. Nobody can you put as a guard in this game in that package. You can't put him in that package. Second highest scorer of his era. Second highest scorer in the history of the game and number one in assists. It's like Tony Archibald, the year he led the league in scoring assists. You can't gripe. Okay, he's leading us in scoring. Yeah, but nobody's passing the ball more. You know, guys are not as fundamentally sound. And when you look at the 50 greatest players when they first picked them, most of the guys are from that era. Chamberlain, Russell, Baylor, Oscar, Wes, Pettit, Elvin Hayes, Havlicek, Cousy. You look at, and the rules make such for, you talk about an exciting game. Who was more exciting than old Boston Celtics? Rebound, Bill Russell, after Cousy, Cousy, running. Isaiah said to call it Boston. That's the team. Let's not talk about their conditioning. Nobody ran more than the Boston Celtics. And you know what? They won 8 championships in a row. Guess what? They won the championship 11 out of 13 times. So let's not talk about conditioning, because not only were they in shape, but their foes were in shape. So let's not talk about the guys today in more condition and more. The Boston Celtics.
But Doc, you're telling me that more athletes back in that era spent as much. I wouldn't necessarily say spent as much time, because there's definitely some athletes out here that don't spend the amount of time on their body, but we didn't have the technology or the knowledge that we have now to get athletes to peak conditioning, which can play in your favor because you say, oh, these guys didn't even have that. But now you have, in that era, guys that were, drinking was definitely much more of a, more acceptable thing, and athletes.
To a degree.
You tell me. Listen,
You understand that's even a more plus factor that at that detriment they were still able to play Class A basketball, not to mention Oscar Robertson said, on the road we had no trainer, we only had a trainer at home. And nobody wrapped our ankles.
The competition, though. But now let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. They didn't have a trainer. And so they didn't have somebody watching over the entire team. And so I'm not saying that the NBA was not as talented, because that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is I feel like the league has a little more of a balance right now of just – this is a really, really – every team, really, has
MJ, a balance? Are you serious? A balance? The New York Knicks play the L.A. Lakers twice a year. That's all. That's a balance?
Yeah.
Twice a year, MJ?
No. Yeah.
They play it twice a year.
Yeah, but
they go out to L.A. and the L.A. comes here. That's it.
It's still like that, though.
Huh?
It's still like that. It's still like that.
Yeah,
right?
It's like that now. It wasn't like that then.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that then. No, the best players played redundantly. We went to Boston. We had to face Russell, Sam Jones, Casey Jones, Havlicek, my man Crawford. Then we had to go to Philly and play against Cunningham, Hal Greer, and Chamberlain. Then we went down to Baltimore, Gus Johnson, Walt Bailey, Earl Monroe. Then we went to Cincinnati. There's Oscar. There's Jerry Lucas. Now we go out west,
and there's West, there's Baylor, then we go out to San Francisco, and there's Nate Thurman, and then we come home and they're playing us. We're playing the best constantly. The Lakers play the Knicks twice a year. That's all. That's all. You see them when you go to L.A., that's when you do your Western swing. So you play L.A., you play the L.A. Clippers, you play the Golden State Warriors, you play the San Antonio Spurs, and then you come back. And then sometime during the season, they do a Western swing. So how often do you play against Tim Duncan and Magic Johnson and Kareem? You don't, Kobe. You don't. Oscar said, I played against the best players and redundantly. And he's right. I mean, how often do you see Steph Curry in New York? Once? That's all. LeBron? Once. That's all. The best do not play the best redundantly. And there's been a saturation, but also brings about a deterioration of talent when you have expansion. You talked about MJ before. I mean, how many guys come up into Major League Baseball and then after 3 or 4 years they're pretty good? Because they're learning the game, playing the game in the major leagues.
Yeah, you got to learn it in a totally different way.
I mean, there are a few guys that just have the talent right away. It's like Doc Gooden had it right at Zoom. You know what I mean? Right away. But the competition is better now, too. It's better then than now. I mean, now you got guys. Okay, I'm talking to the late, great Tom Seaver. I said, wow, if you was around today and you went 500 games, got 5 or 6 innings. And I never forget the first words George Thomas Seaver told me. Bullshit. He said, you got to pitch every 4 days and you got to go at least 7 innings. Nowadays, today, it's remarkable. More guys are having Tommy John surgery, than ever before. The idea was when you babied him, when he only pitched once a week, when he only threw 100 pitches, he was going to be all right. More guys are having Tommy John surgery today than ever before. My late buddy Catfish Hunter told me the reason why they had the guys out in the bullpen, they didn't want them in the game first. The guys are not fundamentally sound. Guys do not know how to play the game today. And across the board, all the guys, the late, great Bob Gibson told me something I'll never forget. I mean, he's coach of the, pitching coach. And he said he was stunned to find out that major league pitchers didn't know how to turn around and throw the ball at second base. Okay? It's a simple spin and turn. Didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Didn't know how to do it. Okay? I mean, the guys today are bigger and stronger and maybe faster. Okay?
Yeah.
But they are no way shaping the form better. Like I said, that Jewish team, okay, of Chamberlain, Russell, Miller, Oscar, and West, NOBODY, beats them. Okay, first of all, Jordan ain't coming down the middle slamming 3 or 4 times. That's out. Okay? And then any shot you miss, Chamberlain and Russell got it. They got it. Now, if you really wanted to stack a team to make sure you didn't win a game, I said, okay, you know what? We'll do it like this. I'll make Oscar, as you guys say, the point guard. I'll let Elgin Baylor be the shooting guard. I'll let Russell play center. I'll put Chamberlain as the power forward and let Jabbar be the small forward. 82-0. I mean, it just, but I understand, if Michael Jordan is all you've seen, and like Julius said in that piece, and you got to hit me back big, you too, MJ, if you got Doc Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio, Trust the Government Network, it's Larry Show, the Little Posse, MJ, Little Pete, and Big A. Hit me on WhatsApp. I sent it to you. And he said, for the NBA to do a documentary and start it from the 90s, what are you telling me? You're not even showing Dr. J. He retired in 87. You're not even showing Dr. J. Dr. J, George Gervin, forget about Oscar, Pettit.
Yeah, no, that ain't right.
I mean, you know, you talk about those guys, And then, 55 rebounds is 55 rebounds. Yeah, I mean, 55 rebounds in a game is 55 rebounds. And if it's a situation that was so easy to do, how come nobody's come close?
They say, I think there's 72 records in the NBA. Chamberlain has 68 of them. 68 of them. Okay? I think he had more 50-point games in one season than Jordan had his whole career. And, you know, the thing about Mike, and I love MJ, but, you know, you act like MJ only played 6 years. You act like MJ only played 6 years, the years that
no,
he won his
didn't.
What about the
they only focus on the ones of the championships.
That's
and
what I'm talking about.
Was,
then if we're going to focus
yeah,
on championships, then we start in with Russell.
More years. And it took
yeah,
him
yeah,
time
but what
to
about,
win
what
those
about the years he didn't win? I mean,
that's
you know, the guy said that one time. He said, you know, you act like MJ only played 6 years. Only
yeah,
6 years.
Forget
he,
that.
He never had
they
a winning season.
He didn't make the finals. Yeah, he didn't.
Huh?
He didn't make the finals without Pippen. He didn't make the finals.
Yeah, but I'm just saying,
Pippen.
But MJ, I like what you're saying, but I'm just saying you had a situation. Hold on a second, gentlemen.
Okay.
What's up, June?
Yeah, Doc.
Yeah.
Listen, just want to give you a quick shout, dog, before I get out of here. Wish you a happy and healthy New Year, brother.
Hey, June, I'm on the air real quick. Real quick, what can we look for boxing-wise for 2021?
Earl Spence and Bud Crawford.
How do you see that fight?
I'd like to see that.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, Earl Spence, I mean, I don't know. I heard he's been doing a lot of drinking, and that's not good. But I don't know. We'll see what he has to bring. I mean, I hope it's something good. He has a fight with Ugas. We'll see how he looks in that fight. That fight will pretty much sum up what we can expect. If moving forward, if he beats Ugas and unifies another title, and then maybe that will make the fight with him. Bud Crawford.
Okay, let's talk about Canelo, who has his propensity to go up in weight, but find the weakest link at that weight division.
I mean, you know, he's at a point right now where, he's at a point right now where he's, in his mind, he's pretty much saying, I can pick and choose who I want to fight. He don't care what the fans think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, instead of fighting top echelon fighters, he's fighting weak links. You know, I mean, in my opinion, I think he should, if he's going to stay at 168, if you're going to unify that division, fight the next guy in line, David Benavidez. If you're going to move up to the super lightweight division, you got guys like Demetrius Bivol at 175. But this guy wants to go beyond that and go up to the cruiserweight division. I mean, listen, I wish him the best. So we'll see.
June, Little Pete asked me something the other day. He's out of the Big Four. Marion Borgen talking about Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard. He asked me who was number one. I said number one out of that crew to me unequivocally was Roberto Duran. Your thoughts on that? Tommy Hearns, Ray Leonard, Hagler, and Duran. Who's
I
number
mean,
one?
Let's not forget that this is the guy out of all those guys that you mentioned. He was the first one to beat Sugar Ray Leonard. So to me, that says it all.
You know, it comes up two weight classes. He's arguably the second greatest welterweight of all time. And you know, somebody else said, too, you know, Duran was a legend already intact before these guys even got into the game, June.
Well, I mean, if they're saying it, they're saying it for a reason, man. He was the man.
Yeah. Little Pete, MJ, and Big A, we got the legendary Gilberto Ortiz, June Buck. Anybody got a quick boxing question for him while we got him? Pete?
Doc.
Yeah.
So I got a quick question for him. So
hurry up, let's go.
Who do you think is the best heavyweight? Who do you think is going to be the best heavyweight in 2022?
Hands down, Tyson Fury.
I think you got to put him there. He made Deontay Fury look like he forgot how to box.
Yeah, Tyson Fury. I think Anthony Joshua has been exposed already. And if you lose to a guy like Andy Ruiz, who they picked as a secondary fighter, he was supposed to fight Big Baby Miller, but he came out dirty. They picked Andy Ruiz as a second fighter. He wasn't even fully trained for that fight, if you ask me. Knocked him out, made him look silly. And then in a comeback fight, you expect me to give you respect when you went 12 rounds with a little guy like Andy Ruiz? Nah.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury, to me, is the man for in the heavyweight division, Tyson Fury, yeah.
Anybody?
I agree with that.
What we got, June?
I got one question. And,
come on.
I'm just curious about your opinion. What do you think about Jake Paul in the sport of boxing?
I mean, in my honest opinion, I'm a boxing fanatic. I love boxing. Jake Paul, I mean, you know that platform they have, whether it be Jake Paul, his brother, platform is for fighters who are pretty much done in their career, even any athletes, because you got basketball players and football players fighting.
Yeah.
I think it's a platform for these guys to make money after the fact that their careers are pretty much over. I mean, yeah. It's nice. I mean, when you got guys like Mayweather fighting his brother, Logan Paul, Floyd weighs 154 pounds and Logan came in at 190 pounds, I don't see that as, it's boxing, it's fighting, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for them, these guys to make money after the fact that their careers are done, but I don't know. That platform for me is just not doing it. I wouldn't pay to see any of those fights.
I agree with that. I'm right there with you.
I wouldn't, because it's just
and
another
just
platform
curious.
For these guys to make money, and I'm not knocking them.
Have a happy and healthy New Year.
Yeah.
And I don't knock them, you know, because these guys, you got Tito Ortiz fighting Anderson Silva. First round knockouts. You know how much money these people pay for those fights, and these guys are getting knocked out in the first round? And to me, it's like I said, you know, if you're going to fight somebody in the same weight class.
It's borderline WWE. You know, it's fighters that aren't fighting.
Right, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Now you got Jake Paul just knocked out Willie, right? Now who he's calling out? Canelo Alvarez.
That's all for promotion. It's for promotion.
Look at that.
He steps in the ring with Canelo.
It grabs people's attention, and they're looking to see if Canelo bites. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that Canelo is going to bite, but, you know, this guy's capitalizing on making millions, and I don't knock him at all. I don't knock him. I just don't feed into that, because it's not the boxing that I like to watch.
No, June, Dr. Andy Sports Network, Block Tech Radio, Sessions Card Network, 2021. It's not boxing. It's what you said. It's the borderline of WWA.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it shows your class and character, but, you know, you're not hating on it. If they can make the money.
I would never look down on it because, you know, it's another sport. These guys got to train. They got to fight. But it's just not the boxing that I like to watch. And like I said, you know,
it's not legit. You know, it's not real. You know, you're not putting sugar in my coffee.
Because you got to think too. Look, if you're fine, like say for instance, I don't know, I'm not knocking Mike, but I love Mike Tyson. I always will. I love Roy Jones Jr. When they fought, there was no stipulations as far as what you have in your system. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know Mike had weed in the system. It was okay for them to fight that way. You know what I mean? So now, I'm not knocking Mike, and I'm not knocking Roy. I respect both fighters. Even to this day. But, you know, I wouldn't want to see, like, another fighter fighting somebody with something in their system. You know what I mean? I mean,
you have no problem with fighters fighting fighters, Tyson, Holyfield, guys in that same bracket. But you have a problem with, you said, these guys outside of the ring getting inside the ring. But then again, you have no problem with it.
You have MMA fighters fighting boxers, boxers fighting MMA fighters, basketball players fighting basketball players, football players. You know, it's all good. You know, these guys, you know, they're making money. I mean, I don't knock them, but it's not something that I would, you know, entertain as far as.
The great boxing writer Michael Cash once said, "If you build it, they will come." Little Pete hit something to me before June. We talked about Ali, great heavyweight all the time, and we talked about the difference in Sugar Ray Leonard beating all the great fighters of his era in his prime, but Ali coming back past his prime, beating all the great heavyweights of his prime. Joe Frazier 2 times out of 3, Kenny Norton 2 times out of 3, knocking out Foreman without question, solidifying him as the greatest heavyweight of all time and the greatest fighter of his era.
I can't dispute that.
Yeah, the only other guy that you can put in the same level with Ali at that time span, and is my man, I love him, 1 and 1A, and he proved it by beating Ray Leonard. Muhammad Ali, Roberto Duran, greatest of their time, cannot be equaled or anybody else is in their same class, in their same class.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Doc. Yeah, guys, have a happy New Year. All the best to you and Gina. All right, guys.
Sports and Depth, Block Talk Radio, Session Guard Network.
I agree with you. I think these guys were both, you know, I mean, amazing fighters, great fighters, I would say, you know. I mean, they were in their prime. I mean, Roberto Duran, Muhammad Ali. I mean, I can't count Ray Leonard, but, I mean, like I said, if Roberto came up to fight Ray Leonard and he beat him before, I mean, Tommy couldn't even beat him. Hagler couldn't even beat him.
Mm.
I mean, what more can I say?
Yeah, enough upset. Another question, gentlemen, while we got the June Buck here, or the Bork on the Boxing, the Latin side of Bork on the Boxing with the legendary Gilberto TKO, knows it all. Another question while we got him. Got to get him, baby. He's the best. Talk to me. Anybody? Little Pete, Big A, MJ?
That's all for me, man. I appreciate the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. I appreciate your time. Listen, guys, I want to wish you guys a very healthy and a happy new year for 2022. Let's hope that we get all the good fights that we want to see.
I hope
so. June, before you go, I talked about Holyfield being a great champion, but I told everybody, had Tyson and Holyfield fought the first time when they were supposed to, like Marion Boykin said, it had been 3 minutes or three punches, whatever came first, Tyson would have won that fight.
I put it this way. In my opinion, I think if Holyfield would have fought Mike Tyson when he was on the custom model,
yeah,
it would have been a different ball game. That's
a different
all I can
fight.
Say.
Totally different fight.
Yeah, it's a different ball game.
It would have been a different ball game. It would have been a different fight. I mean, once custom model died on him, once he changed his manager, and once he changed his trainer, Kevin Rooney and Teddy Atlas, and then he was under a different manager.
No, not only that, June. We have to also, and we always give Ali acknowledgement of the 3.5 years he lost. People never talk about the 3 years that Tyson lost. They act like he was on vacation. You know, they never acknowledge the 3 years that he lost in the slam, and erroneously at that. You know what I mean?
And he should not even been in there with the money he had and all lawyers that they should have gotten. If you ask me, I think it was just he had people that were backing him that weren't really backing him the way they should have backed him.
Well, he's kind of said that too later in his life. You know what I mean? And I'm so glad you've been.
And there was enough money for them to get him out or get him at least if O.J. Simpson got away with murder and he had three lawyers, Mike didn't need three lawyers. All he needed was one or two good lawyers to get him out of that.
My boy, O.J. didn't do it, but I got your point.
O.J. did it.
No. What you're saying?
He got a team to put together and he got him off of murder.
What you're saying, if you can make $15 for a five-course dinner, well, how come I can't do it with 50?
Say no more.
Say no more. June.
All right, Doc. Well, listen, on that note, I got to sign off, brother.
Okay, but right now you're saying what Spence will do against Crawford will be determined by how he fights.
What Spence will do against Ugas is going to be my determination.
I'm saying what he does against Crawford will depend on what he does against Ugas.
He's going to fight Ugas first.
That's what I'm saying. We can tell from that fight. But now, on the real side, Jim, before you go, Crawford was losing to Porter. And, it turned out that Crawford wasn't all that he was perceived to be, June.
Porter, in my honest opinion, Porter is thus far the best welterweight that Terrence has fought. Mircon was washed up. Kell Brook was washed up. Porter, I think, before this pandemic ever started, Porter would have waxed his ass because Porter was more active. This pandemic fucked a lot of these fighters up. In my opinion. And if Porter was more active in his like he was before this pandemic ever started and he fought Terrence then, Terrence would have been in for a good ass whipping.
Yeah. And to solidify that, the fact that even two out of three judges in this last performance still had Porter winning the fight. So that just validates what you're saying, Larry.
Porter was going to win the fight.
But Terrence ain't fighting Porter's been his biggest test in the welterweight division. In my opinion.
I agree.
Right? No.
That's the problem that I have with these fighters getting all this hype before they even fight anyone with notable talent. I love Bud Crawford, but to me that was his real first challenge to me.
I agree. Porter has been thus far his biggest challenge in the welterweight division. What he did at 140 was fine, but what he's doing now in welterweight division, he hasn't fought no top tier echelon fighters in the welterweight division. Ugas. He could have fought Ugas. He could have fought Danny Garcia. He could have fought Keith Thurman. But he didn't want to fight those guys. He wanted to go straight to the cash cow with Manny Pacquiao or Terrence Crawford. If you're on standby and you can't get either one of those fights, you take what comes. If you're saying you're the best fighter, you're the best welterweight fighter in that division, then you take on the guys that are there and that are available.
Yeah.
You don't wait for Pacquiao. You don't wait for for Earl. You know, you take on guys like Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Ugas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a kid now in the welterweight division, which I mentioned to you too, Doc. His name is Jerron Boots Ennis. That kid is good. He gives Terrence a good fight. And another kid that he doesn't want to fight is this kid that's coming up. He's under Golden Boy promotion. Is Virgil Ortiz Jr. He might beat him, but he'd give him a good challenge.
Are you trying to say that there may be a little Kool-Aid in Crawford's blood there, June?
I'm saying that if you're going to be talking that you're the best fighter, not even Errol Spence says that I'm the best welterweight. You know what I'm saying? Terrence Crawford is claiming that he's the best. I think he's a good fighter. But you can't claim to say that you're best. You got to fight the top dogs. Work your way up and then get if a fight with Earl transpires, great. If the one with Pacquiao transpired, great. But for now, you're not getting that fight. You know what I'm saying? Now you're a free agent. Now you're not with Top Rank. You got no excuses.
June, real quick, I've got to go. Give me this now. At their best, Lomachenko, Roberto Duran.
I got to go with Duran, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Duran was beat.
Yeah.
Don't take nothing for Loma. Loma's a good fighter. Very talented fighter, man.
Mm-hmm. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Very skilled technical boxer. Very skilled boxer.
Huh? Yes, Sugar Ray Leonard and Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Ray.
Okay, here's a good one. Now, what about Holyfield against maybe Alec Clashfield against Ezra Charles?
I don't know, Todd. That's a tough one. I mean, I like Ezra Charles, man.
Okay, but it shows your genius, boy. You with the genius you are. And here's the last one. It's a good one. It's a goodie. It's a classic. A young Smoking Joe Frazier and a young Iron Mike Tyson.
You know what, Doc? I love them both, but in their prime?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to stick with Mike, dog.
Yeah. Mike Tyson. And
I have to stick with Mike.
Well, June, once again, ladies and gentlemen, you've been featured to the Latin side of Boycott on Boxing with Gilberto Junebug Ortiz, TKO, because his technical knowledge is outstanding. That's why we call him TKO. I know you got to go, June. Any last words before you leave us here on the eve?
Stay tuned for your boy. One Time's coming back next year, I think in February,
mm-hmm.
and he's fighting Mario Barrios, I think his name is.
Yeah, Barrios.
We'll see how Keith looks. Because after that fight, if he beats Mario, Terrence Crawford is waiting around for him, and Terrence is supposed to fight Keith Thurman. So, you know, we'll see how One Time does.
Hey, June, should I call Lady A?
Please do. Let her know. Put her on notice.
Thanks, June.
Doc, love you, brother.
Ditto, baby.
Have a happy New Year's, man.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Okay,
you took it.
Have a good one.
Thanks for the video. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, the Latin side of working on boxing. June Gilberto Ortiz, TKO, technical knowledge is outstanding. Brought some good points up, gentlemen. Like for the questions that you brought in there, too. Good to have him here. He's the Latin side of Boycott on Boxing, number one boxing show in the history of cable television by the legendary Marion B. Bach, Bowman B. Boycott. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, gentlemen, we got it. We're still talking. Got you here. We've been on an hour. Thought we'd be gone by now, but we're not, so let's keep it going. The questions are here. It's the Little Posse. Little Pete, Big A, and MJ, and also the Latin side of Working on Boxing with Junebug Gilberto Ortiz, whose knowledge is top knowledge is outstanding in the game. Very good point. Glad to get in there, too, wishing the New Year's greetings and then giving us some good inside boxing stuff, what we wanted to know from both sides. So that was very good. When we're talking about boxing, want to take a shout-out and say congratulations to my good buddy, Buck Showalter, the new manager of the New York Mets. We talk about a guy who is analytically sound. Manager of the Yankees, manager of the Diamondbacks, manager of the Baltimore Orioles, three times manager of the year, one manager of the year from every spot he was in. So glad to see him. Catch him down the line to join us. And we just want to say, Bud, congratulations, man. Well deserved. and back in New York where you should be, even though a lot of people thought he never should have left the other side of New York, but he's back. But Joe Waller, love you, baby. Gentlemen, let's keep talking. What do we got going? We got a good insight on boxing there from Junebug. Dusty just called back. Yeah.
Doc, I just wanted to say, I was great having him on. I really enjoyed his insight. And I wanted to say I appreciate you having me on. I actually got to run off right now.
MJ, you come up back anytime, man. You know, if you're hanging with Little P, that's Big A. The only place for you here.
Really
thank you. Regards
to
your lovely
to
mother.
You
know, she's his first class actor. Yeah. She called me here about, I sent her a birthday card, and she goes, Doc. Yeah, you know, this is Doc. I want to apologize. He said, Mike just gave me the man. Just gave me the man.
Well, listen, Doc, I just want to say happy New Year, and prayers to you and, prayers to you and your mother, man. I just wanted to say that.
Hey,
too,
hey thanks
we,
so much, fellas. Keep me in prayer. Keep you all, too. And okay, MJ, you got a roll, but anytime, you know, now you're part of the big three. Little
Pete,
Big A, and MJ, right here on Sports in Depth. It's the last show of the year. MJ is leaving us. And this was, Michael Jordan. And I've said this, too, if you're going to be stuck with Michael Jordan as the greatest of all time, it ain't a bad deal. I've been blessed to meet him. We have in our Sports in Depth Trust in God artifacts. The only two pair of sneakers that Jordan ever had a triple double in the playoffs, and I happen to have both of them. Charles Oakley gave me one. He gave me one for my son. All you people too, check out DocSportsSports.com site for any memorabilia stuff. MJ, okay, you got a roll. I got the Big A and Little Pizza. No problem, baby. Thanks a lot. Happy New Year, regards to your family, and thanks so much for the prayers and the thoughts.
Happy New Year, brother. Thank you.
Okay, so I got the last two here. We got Big A, Little Pete. Come on, keep the questions coming, fellas. I want to thank Pete. I really want to thank you, man, because it's a great time. A New Year's Eve show, my last show of the year, and like I said, most of the time at this time of the year, I'm in Fortaleza, Brazil. I've already done São Paulo. I usually have a scripture there. I want to ask everybody too. My beloved mother Vivian in prayer. She's had the dementia problem, and now she's in hospice state. We got her home. I thank God that she saw her Christmas here, and my first Christmas here in years. My dad, we celebrated the 40th memorial of his passing December 23rd. So tomorrow is the first day of 20 days left for my mother, Lord willing, see her 93rd birthday. And so we just gonna keep everybody, please keep us in prayer all the time. And thank you for those who are doing it. MJ, just a class family right away. First thing he says, hey, Doc, we got your moms in prayer. We just lost Big A again. Little Pete, you still here?
Yep.
Big A again.
Hey,
okay, come on, Little Pete. I guess Big A come back. Go ahead, Little Pete.
So, Doc, so listen. Going back to Oscar Robertson, right? Honestly, Doc. Right, in terms of guard position, we got Michael Jordan, we got Magic Johnson, we got a ton of talent at the guard position. But I personally don't see anyone being better than Oscar Robertson. But at the same time, Big A thinks Michael Jordan. So where do you fall in between? Where do you think Oscar Robertson ranks in terms of guards?
Oscar Robertson is the greatest guard of all time. Now, don't tell me about MJ, because Oscar could have averaged 30 points a game if he wanted to. Okay, now, see, here's the thing I do. Give me your guy, I'll give you my guy, and I can show you where my guy does something your guy doesn't do. Okay? We talk about Jordan shooting. Well, Oscar could shoot. We talk about Jordan playing defense. Oscar could play defense. Okay, was Jordan the rebound and assist man that Oscar was? Was he the ball hell that Oscar was? That seems to be a plus three to me. Okay, let's go with Magic. Okay. Magic, great assist man. Okay. Oscar was the all-time assist leader when he retired. Did Magic average 20 points a game? Bomb, no. Could he have outside jump shot? Bomb, no. Okay, so we're going to draw it even as passers, okay, as a passers, as rebounders. But was Irving the defensive player that Oscar was? Bomb, no. Did he have the jumps that Oscar had? Bomb, no. So, I mean, it's Oscar. It's what Julius talked about at that show. Starting NBA from the 90s, you're not showing Oscar and Wes and Baylor and Frazier and Monroe and Bellamy and Russell and Chamberlain and Pettit and Cousy and Havlicek and Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld. Only two guys in the history of basketball ever won MVP and rookie year the same year. Will Chamberlain and Wes Unseld. You know what I mean? What about Rick Barry? Huh? What about Rick Barry? Only man to lead the NBA, the ABA, and the NCAA in scoring. Huh? Only man to do it. Rick Barry. Okay? Connie Hawkins. Willie Cunningham. Lucas. Okay? Lenny Wilkins. You know, I mean, you're not going to talk. And this is the thing about it, to not show these guys who happen to be on that 50 greatest list. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. I mean, you're going to start in the 90s, okay? You're going to see all Mike, but you're not going to see Oscar. You're not going to see Pettit. You're not going to see Baylor. You're not going to see Chamberlain, Russell, Nate Thurman, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, you see Kareem. But so, I mean, I just think, yeah. And Julius talked about the fact that he thought it was too sort of, you know, when was the commissioner going to add the 5 years of the ABA players? Well, but 5 years didn't count? You know what I mean? Because Julius' numbers, when he retired with his ABA numbers, he was the all-time steals leader, okay? And the third highest score in the history of the game. And he said, you know, well, you just throw those 5 years away? You know, that's absurd. And let's be real, it was the ABA players who made the NBA. David Thompson talked about, you know, when I came to him, he said, our team didn't win our division the last year in the ABA. The first year in the NBA, we won our division. He said, I was second team all ABA. I made first team all NBA my first year in the league. George Gervin led the league in scoring his first year. Only Jordan had more scoring titles. George McGinnis comes in. He's the leading scoring forward in the NBA. All ABA players. Maurice Lucas, the glue of the Portland Trail. Every year, Artis Gilmore, best percentage shooting from the floor of anybody in history of the game. I mean, so hey, what do? You don't show these guys stats. You don't talk about them. I mean, nobody sees them. And, so you catch these guys on the downhill side, too, which is unfair. Yeah, but, I mean, listen, my backcourt starts with Oscar Robertson. Now, you got to decide who else you're going to put back there with him. You want to put Mike back there with him? Okay. But you don't have a legitimate backcourt if Oscar Robertson ain't in it. And the stat that hit me about a month ahead, I said, wow, Oscar Robertson has a prerequisite for both of his nonsense point guard and shooting guard. All-time assist leader when he retired, second highest score in history of the game. That's it. That's your point guard, your shooting guard. But actually what it is, it's what a guard's supposed to do, pass and be able to shoot, not just dribble the ball. You know? Now, all those guys back in that day could do that. Wes, Cousy, Monroe, Frazier.
Hey, Doc.
Yeah. Go ahead, Big A.
Hey, you mind if I, so here's why I think that Jordan tops Oscar, and I'm not saying. Let me start off by saying I feel no like.
Hey, what you gotta say? You know, you saw Jordan, you never saw Oscar. Come on, no problem. I understand that. Come on, let it flow.
After watching Jordan, you know, I've never seen a guy who's dominated his era more than Jordan did to his, because
I can see that you're saying that, but you never saw Bill Russell. His team won the championship 8 years in a row, Big A. 8 years in a row, they won the championship.
With a combination of championships, just in complete like dominate with the statistics.
Well, Russell, I think Russell won 3 or 4 MVP awards. I understand it, Michael, so you saw, but what I'm saying is two things here. Michael Jordan didn't just play 6 years. And more importantly, Michael Jordan is not the only guy that won 6 championships, and he didn't win 6 in a row. Russell won 8
Jordan
in a row.
Jordan did something that less than 5 other people did, and that's win a defensive player of the year as a guard.
Yeah, but you have to understand something. They didn't have defensive awards back in the days of Oscar and Russell and them. I mean, you don't think who would have been the series MVP maybe a few times in 11 championships? They didn't have no MVP award. For the first guy to win the MVP in the finals was Jerry West on a losing team. Okay? They weren't even counting blocked shots back in those days. I mean, it's ridiculous. They weren't counting blocked shots in those days. And like I said, love MJ. He won 6 times. Russell won 11.
Right.
Okay? Kareem won 6 times and won 5 MVPs, more than Jordan. I think Russell won 3 or 4. Chamberlain won. I mean, the centers were so dominant that Oscar Robinson and Dr. J in that span of time were the only non-centers to win an award. I understand if Mike was all you saw, but you see, you didn't see Dr. J. The guy had on my show, he said, Dr. J would have taught Michael Jordan a brand new asshole. And Julius talked about that, too. They calmed down. They cut down his game. You didn't see Dr. J.
Right.
Dr. J was the guy slamming and jamming who learned it from Connie Hawkins and Elgin Baylor. Do you know what Elgin Baylor's numbers were 1 year as a forward? 34 and 16. And then another year was 34 and 18. Then another year was 34 and 19. Numbers. I understand what you say, but you understand in Mike's game, you couldn't play defense. You couldn't touch him. Okay? But if you look at the stats.
Another thing, too.
Go ahead.
Another thing, too. With when it comes to greatness and, like, the greatest basketball player of all time, I think the difference, like, I think we talked about this once on the show as well, the difference between the greatest and the best at something. Here's the thing. Michael Jordan's legacy carried on to the next generation like no one else. If you ask everyone in the NBA right now, if you ask them who they think is the greatest player of all time and who their inspiration was growing up, I guarantee
but
you.
Why, Big A? You know why? Because back in the day, you was only one game a week coming on TV. Okay? That was every Sunday. But the Big A, there was no exposure. There was no exposure. How does nobody not know about Bob Pettit, Big A? How do you not know about, especially a white guy, that averaged 26 points and 16 rebounds a game career? Bob Pettit, Julius Erving, and Jerry West are the only 3 players to be stars in every All-Star game they played. How do you not know them? Because you had no exposure. I asked George McGinnis, what's the difference between the NBA and the ABA? CBS. CBS, they had a contract, but back in the day, one game a week on Sunday, 1 o'clock, and always were the Celtics. Celtics, Sixers, Celtics, Lakers, Celtics, now Cincinnati. Once a week, you got a game every night on TNT, on cable now, but back even in my day, in the latter parts, I mean, the 90s, so you had the weekend basketball games and you had the TNT on Thursday. So, you know, you got 3 or 4 games a week. You didn't see Oscar Robinson. You didn't see Elgin Baylor. You didn't see Jerry West. You're the only person you barely saw, because Cousy was on the downhill side, was Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. Because those were the marquee games. But you saw them once a week. You saw them once a week. Mike, the exposure is great for Mike and everybody else. Mike was making more money with commercials than the player, but I understand it. But that's all you saw. And I just told you, the NBA started showing their resume of 1990.
Yeah, but Doc,
I mean, so you tell me,
you think Mike, you think
Russell,
Mike also has something
to pet it?
You think Mike has,
I mean,
also
Mike,
something
Mike
to
is
with
a great, great
trust
player, but he had the exposure.
Yeah, but
and
Mike
understand
has something
too,
to do with the attraction,
you know,
too, as well.
Huh?
You can't do the reason the NBA started getting so much attraction, you can argue, is because of Michael Jordan.
Now, Jordan helped.
Not,
no,
Doc,
don't ever forget Larry Bird and Magic
Little
Johnson. EVER. And here's the biggest thing. Hold on, Pillow Pete. The merger came about because of a gentleman by the name of Julius Dr. J. Erving. He was the guy that made the merger. And Pat Williams and the Sixers, excuse me, fucked it up because they didn't want Dr. J to be Dr. J anymore. He sold out every arena and attended records his first year in the league. Sold it out, okay? And he won the first ever NBA ABA All-Star game on the losing team. Exposure. Mike is great. Great. But Mike and Magic, all these guys today, You know all these guys because you see them on TV redundantly, weekends, Mondays. Back in the day, Big A, there was one game a week on TV on Sunday at 1 o'clock, okay? So now if you're still in church, you haven't caught the game yet, but you only saw Russell, Chamberlain. Okay, you saw four games a month. What do you got? You got what, five games a week now? Four games a month. Four games a month is what you saw. I mean, and you saw Oscar if he played the Celtics. You saw Wes and Baylor if they played the Celtics. You saw Chamberlain if they played the Celtics. I didn't see anybody. Mike is a great, great player, greatest of all time. Like Marion Borkin said, you know, that becomes selective and all that sort of stuff. But they had no TV exposure. I mean, even Mike talked about back in his day, you know, and we're talking about his day. You had one game a week on TV, college basketball. You didn't have a college an NBA game. One game a week, North Carolina State. That's what you had, you know. So as I'm talking about, it don't take away from the greatness of Mike, but television aided the greatness of Mike, where it did, and Baylor, which showed you just how great they were, you know. But, I mean, it's remarkable to me, as a great man, Boykin says, that nobody talks about Bob Pettit. 26-16 lifetime, and you want to throw that bullshit championship stuff in? Yeah, okay, so you won MVP, and you won a championship, but you want to throw that in. But, man. You know about Mike. You know why you know about Mike? Because you saw Mike. You know you about my Mike? Because Mike had the commercials.
Yeah.
That's why you saw Mike. You know what about Mike? Because Mike sold sneakers. And he sold sneakers that you liked. But you knew about Mike more so commercially because you didn't watch Mike that much on TV because he played the Knicks maybe two or three times a year. If you wanted Chicago, you weren't getting all of the Bulls home games. So only if you were a Chicagoan were you seeing Mike redundantly. So the reality of the situation, you didn't see the Mike that much either, but then you saw him in the finals.
Well, Doc, yeah. Here's the thing, all right? Here's the bottom line, okay? Back in the 70s, all right, you had no camera exposure, okay? Michael Jordan, all right? Doc, here's the thing. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Karl Malone, John Stockton, they all had live TV games where you could see the way how they played, okay? Now, truth of the matter is, Wilt Chamberlain's 100 career game was not recorded, right? I looked every –
You can't. The game was not recorded, and the photographer, one of two photographers, left at halftime. Okay? In fact, I think the photographer did leave at halftime. A tremendous point brought up. The photographer left. Yeah.
If you look up,
nobody was there.
There's no videos of that. Now, if I looked up Michael Jordan game-winning shot against the Utah Jazz Game 6, it would automatically come. So the point of the matter is that we don't even know how good guys like Jerry West, Will Chamberlain were because there was no footage showing it. Meanwhile, Larry Bird, Magic, there's photos. There's video showing how good they were. But now imagine if Oscar Robertson had that kind of, availability to him. There's no exposure in the 70s, Doc, of how good these people were.
No. I mean, that's that, and only that, too, the commercials. That you saw Mike, I want to be like my Gatorade. You saw Mike on the Wheaties box, okay? You bought the Nikes. So even though you didn't see him, you saw him. You know what I mean? So you didn't see him, but you saw him. And then, you know, he's always, there's exposure in the magazines and stuff. So, I mean, a lot of the visibility of Mike was commercial.
I know.
And
well, Doc.
Yeah.
Doc, you know something, Doc?
Mm.
I really, really think that, like, I would have really liked to see that five that you put together, that five team that you put together against a team from the 90s, such as Larry Bird, Karl Malone,
Jordan. Let's do a whole stop. Okay. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Bird and Duncan are the two forwards. Okay. Elgin Baylor, 27-13. That's better numbers than both Duncan. Once again, 3 more rebounds and 7 more points. 3 more points and 3 more rebounds than Bird has career. Okay, so now if we go into the middle, you got Jabbar in the middle. Huh? Mm-hmm.
I said titles are good, but where do the stats rely? Because if titles are good, but the stats show that the player is better than the player who we're comparing them to. So I'll give you an example. Bob Pettit's better statistically than Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
So, all right, so technically Bob Pettit is the better player even though he has less titles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now this is where we got to think about. We say, oh, titles, championships. Okay, so then if we bring up titles, then we mean Bill Russell is the best, but he's not. Even though Bill Russell was great, the point of the matter is Chamberlain has a lot more points than him and more rebounds. Chamberlain is statistically better even though Bill Russell has more titles than him. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like I said, the thing that Big A, the competition was better back in the old days. And for no other reason, like I said, a top elite team like the Lakers only comes to New York once a year.
Doc, Jordan had to play some of the best guards in the NBA at the time, especially defensively. We're talking about like Gary Payton and Michael Cooper at the start of his career. And
Cooper's not a guard. Cooper's coming off the bench. Cooper's not a guard. Cooper's coming off the bench. He's a sixth man. Jordan ain't playing him. Jordan ain't playing Cooper. Cooper may switch on him, but Cooper's not a guard. I mean, here's the thing, too.
Yeah,
how did Jordan do against the best teams career-wise? Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons have a better record. The Lakers have a better record. And the Celtics have a better record. So there's three of the best teams that has a better record against him. Okay? And like I said, you act like Mike only played 6 years. Like I'm saying, defensive player of the year. Didn't handle defensive player of the year.
I'm trying to count his early years as well, though.
What's that?
I'm saying Michael Jordan, even though he wasn't the best winner at the beginning of his career, he still got the the Bulls before they had Michael Jordan. The Bulls were nothing.
Before Michael Jordan got Scottie Pippen, he was nothing. That's the bottom line. And then let's say about Russell. Everybody talks about how great Russell is. Russell was in the right situation. And now he was the key because now I can let Big A go by because, hey, there go Russell. You know what I mean? But here's the thing, too, between Russell and Chamberlain. I'm going to let you go, and you're going to challenge Russell. When you go in there one time and hit Will Chamberlain, you ain't going back in there no more. You're not going to challenge Will Chamberlain the way you challenge Bill Russell. Because of his strength and his athletic ability. I mean, Walt Frazier told me, hitting his body like a concrete slab. I have no doubt that Chamberlain could have produced the same results with the Celtics as Russell, even though my Lear buddy, he's a buddy of mine, lover man, he said, you know, his class said, well, you know, I would have taken away from the shooters, showing his class and character. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Celtics could have won with him the way they did with Russell. Now, Auerbach says differently. You know, he's kind of stubborn. But, I mean, the fact that he, as a center, the only center to lead the league in assists. He said, you know, after 5 years, I stopped scoring. I stopped doing other things. If he had to continue to score, his average would have been higher than Jordan's. Now, remember, he stopped scoring. And he still, I think Jordan beats him by percentage points, 30 points something. He stopped scoring after 5-6 years. So he would, I mean, he had one time the first 4 or 5 years, he was 40 points and 22 rebounds. 40 points and 22 rebounds. And he stopped. He stopped. The reason why you can't go past the free throw line because he did dunk his free throws. Imagine if they didn't do that, how many more points he would have had because you couldn't foul him because he's going to make the free throw. And if you do foul him, he's going to make it. He wouldn't have missed no free throws. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going to I'm going to bring a little bit of today's era in, okay? Russell Westbrook, all right? Great player, triple-double. On paper, he's got more triple-doubles in a season than anyone. Now, I want you to picture this, Doc, right? Oscar Robertson passing his assist. You had to pass it to the teammate and have him lay it up. There's no movement whatsoever. You couldn't step back out for a jump shot.
You had to be going straight to the basket.
Exactly. And now imagine this, Doc. Imagine if Oscar Robertson was playing in today's game, right, and had the availability of pass options like Russell Westbrook did. You think Westbrook would have been able to beat his records? No. Oscar Robertson was able to utilize the ways that he was given, and that's why Oscar is will always, in my opinion, be the best all-around guard of all time. Because
Oscar told me, you know, had the counter system my day, the way they do now, nobody ever would have caught me. Okay? And yeah, like I said, you know, it just hit me. When you talk about point guard, shooting guard, Oscar's stats when he retired proved that he was that, without question, all rolled into one. Most assists in the history of the game, the only triple-double in the history of the game a season, and the most points scored by anybody, guard or forward, outside of Wilt Chamberlain in the history of the game. Mike could have played in that era, okay? But Mike would have been one of the stars, not the star. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Mike could have – he would have been one of the stars, not the star. And let's not forget that the stars before him was Magic and Larry. And George Irvin says, I respect and appreciate what Michael, Larry, and Bird did for the game. But my top five is the same top five now that I had at 15 years old, and they will remain my top five. Oscar Robertson, 25.7 points a game. Jerry West, 27 points a game. Bill Russell, 16 points, 22 rebounds a game. Wilt Chamberlain, 30 points and 22 rebounds a game. Elgin Baylor, okay, 27 points and 13 rebounds a game. There's nobody you can give me that tops those numbers. Even Jordan at 30 is only fractions higher than Chamberlain. And collectively now, if we go collectively on championships, okay, Russell has 11, Chamberlain has 2, that's 13, Oscar makes 14, West makes 15. That's 15 championships, man. 15 championships. 15 championships. Now, your guys may beat them out. Because Magic has 5, Bird has 3, Mike has 6, so that's 9, that's 14, and then Duncan has 4, so and Kareem. So they'll have more championships, but their numbers ain't there. Their numbers ain't there. I mean, it's just the numbers don't lie, Big A. The numbers don't lie. And this is the era when you played against the best players redundantly. Like I said, you know, we went up to Boston to play the Celtics with Russ. We went down to Philly with Dipper, out to L.A. with Lucas and Oscar. I mean, Cincinnati, L.A., man, we got to run in Baylor and West. Yeah. Then there's Nate Thurman in San Francisco. Then we got to shoot out to St. Louis and deal with Lenny Wilkins and Pettit down to – you know, you played the best players redundantly. You know, it wasn't there was no breaks, and you played them with none. You were flying commercial. Okay, legs only one had their own plane because the owner had a plane. So you're flying commercial. You had no train on the road. You had nobody wrapping your ankles. Yeah, so you were playing in these submersive conditions and producing. And producing.
Yeah. Remember,
but I mean, it's the love of the game. I mean,
right?
What did you say, Big A?
Doc, it's Little Pete. You remember,
Little Pete.
Do you remember Elvin Hayes?
Yeah, the Big E.
Elvin Hayes was competition, too. There you go. Willis Reed.
No, well, Elvin Hayes. I mean, listen. Okay, look at the Hayes numbers against Duncan. They're better. 21 points, 11 rebounds a game. 21 points, that's 2 more, and 1 more rebound a game. 21-11. 21-11. He's a rebound more than Bird and only 3 points shy. What about Rick Barry? Only man to lead the NCAA, the NBA, and the ABA in scoring. Rick Barry. Okay? You know, played in both leagues. You know, and you know, I'm taking my guys against your guys. Now, you can, and first of all, George Gervin, Guys like, Dag, Iceman, if you was around the day with the three-point shot, and this shows the intellect in the front of a three-point shot. He said, I'm trying to shoot 14, 16, 12 feet, the closest to the basket, the higher percentage shot. I'm not shooting out there. Now, maybe I need that shot because we're down by three. I can make it, but I'm trying to get the highest percentage shot. Everybody is posted up shooting. And that's the mindset that those guys had. Javon said the first time he played Oscar, he went one way, the ball went the other. Oscar said, the reason why I passed the ball to you in that position because once you caught the ball, you were unguardable. You couldn't be defended. The intellect these guys – I was up – Jerry West averaged 6 assists a game, which means you probably average 8, 9 a game, but they don't give the credit for it. Game. You look at Stockton, all-time assist leader, all-time steal leader. Wes, Pete, and we ain't talking about Pete either. What about Pete? Pete's chop liver? Top liver? Pete's chop liver? No, but well, ball handling?
You know, there were also a lot of more other guys that were very, very, very competitive in Chamberlain's era. And, Doc,
a lot of guys today, a lot of superstars, would be just average players then. And a lot of guys who were average players then would be superstars now.
Hey, Doc, let me
Big
ask
a,
you.
That's just the simplicity of it.
Doc, when Magic Johnson, when Magic Johnson didn't have Kareem, was he still good?
How many championships did he win without Kareem?
Well, I don't know. I don't know too much about the 90s.
I'm going to answer the questions for you. None. Okay? None. In the conversation. In the conversation. None.
Do you think Magic was still really, really good without Kareem?
Magic was still great, but he wasn't winning no championships. It's funny how you can use that.
How did the two play together in terms of chemistry?
They played. Come on. They're players. They had no chemistry problems.
So
they won
like
five championships together.
Pippen. It's kind of like a Jordan and Pippen situation, right? Both need each other, right, Doc?
I understand Kareem came there with a championship, okay? Kareem already had a championship when he came to L.A., all right? So it's not like, he didn't have one. He already had one when he came there. So let's remember that. He already had a championship, also had some MVPs, some scoring titles. So when he came to L.A., he was in need of nothing. He had it all. Championship, led the league in scoring, MVP award. So there was nothing on his resume that he didn't already have. He was just adding to it with the championships. There's no question they benefit from each other, but let's not forget the rest of the guys, too. What was Jane Worthy's? Chop Liver? Byron Scott? Cooper? Norm Nixon? That great team coming off the bench? Cooper, Thompson, and McAdoo? That's a hell of a crew, man.
That's a hell of a crew. Was also, Doc, 1971. NBA championship. Oscar Robertson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You remember that team, right?
The only team in the history of the NBA that shot 50% from the floor and had Larry Costello, I don't understand what the hell he was thinking about. They could have won 70 games. They won 66 games. It remarks to me, these guys, why didn't you go for 70? Rest what? Why didn't you go for 70? They swept everybody in the finals. Mm-hmm. So what rest did they need? They'd have been the first team to win 70 games. Yep. The great players can play together, man. I got somebody else coming in now. Great players have no problem playing together. Great players have no problem playing together. Players are players, man. Everybody's trying to win. It's definitely better riding a Rolls Royce than a Jaguar, or Mercedes, classic cars. A guy like Magic, how can you not get along with a guy like Magic? He's passing the ball. When you're down the park, man, and – And I got my man Big A rebounding and Lou Pete is passing the ball. Hey, we can have, hey, it works. It works. I mean, you got no problem with a guy passing the ball.
Doc,
you know what
Doc,
I mean?
When Magic was bringing up, telling me that Magic had no jump shot.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't pull up. He couldn't pull up like Oscar.
No, Mike, listen. Mike, Magic had a jump shot. It wasn't in the class or the lethality of West, mm-hmm. Oscar, mm-hmm. Frazier, Monroe, Pistol Pete. You know, I mean, he didn't have a very good jump shot. I mean, Magic's not going to go out there and shoot a jump shot off a pick. He's not going to a spot to look a jump shot. Magic is looking to take you down, okay? All right? See, that's the difference. Oscar's looking to take you down to get closer to the basket to shoot the jump shot. Magic's taking you down to get closer to the basket to get closer to the basket. Okay.
Doc, I got a question for you, Doc.
Yeah, man, go ahead, man. Sure. Doc Stanley Sports and Depth, our last show before the new year, 2021. Wishing the best for everybody. And we got the little posse here, Little Pete, Big A, MJ, and also the Latin side of Brooklyn on Boxing with Gilberto June TKO Ortiz. Go ahead, Big A.
So, you know who Klay Thompson is? On the Warriors?
Who?
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson, yeah.
So, if you watch a player like Klay, we're talking about a guy who who's coming off a 2-year injury, but he's a player that once scored, we're talking 57 points on 4 dribbles. How does an injury, like a crazy 2-year injury like that, affect a player like Klay Thompson coming up in his return in January?
How does the injury affect him?
Like a player of his, like the way he plays off the ball,
mm-hmm.
How does it affect a player like him?
How do you do what now? Defend?
How does an injury like that, like a torn ACL, how does it affect a
mm-hmm.
player like him?
Well, it depends. You know, you look, Kobe came back. He came, but I'm not a doctor. I just think all depends on the guy, and the big thing is how the good Lord blesses you to come back. I mean, you know, you do what you have to do to get back to the position that you once were, or, you know, what is said. You know, you look at and then you hope you have the right people. You know, Grant Hill's career was controlled by having the wrong people. So you got to have the people who really care, and are going to be honest with you and have your best hope and concern at the forefront, not with the organization. You know, the Detroit Pistons, shoot especially, fucked up and fucked Grant Hill. You know, didn't have his best interests at heart, didn't tell him what was really going down. So I want to say Feliz Ananovio as, wow, in Brazil, it is 2022. But with 2 hours ahead of us, I meant to say that at 10 o'clock. So it's a new year. It's 2022 in Brazil right now. And let me see, did I get something? Yeah. Let me see if I can get my man. Okay, I got my man Bill Calhoun. So I can get him online real quick.
Doc.
Yeah, go ahead.
Doc, let me ask you this. Who are you mm-hmm. taking at a small forward position? Dr. J. Julius Erving.
Hold on a second. Hey, Bill, I'm on my radio show. Just want to say Happy New Year, too, because, you know, it's 2022, so I'm talking to the future, and you're looking at the past.
Hey, it's always been that way. We just never took notice of it. But just want to say to you, Doc, it's been a torturous year, but we've learned so much. And the greatest lesson is that life is the greatest gift that we have received from the Almighty, and we need to honor, love, and cherish it, and share it, and recognize that without this life, what would there be?
Hmm.
So thank you, Doc, for being a part of my life. My wife here also thanks you for being a part of her life.
The First Lady,
and
baby.
Blessings to you and to all the family.
Okay, like I
Amen.
Said. Okay, I got Big A and Lil Anthony. They're on the show. Then, Jim, you're talking to Professor William Madison Calhoun Jr. live from Fortaleza, Brazil, and his lovely wife. So we just want to say Happy New Year to it, and we feel good about talking to the future.
All right. Happy New Year to all of the brothers and sisters that are listening to the show. And hopefully, Doc, we can get together on some very important black economic development information to share with the listeners in the coming year. And again, brother, thank you for your brotherhood and for your friendship.
Vito, I know you got to go. Just want to leave you with these thoughts, baby. Hey, if I ain't on your radio, then your radio ain't on.
My radio is on.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Where's the first lady? She's okay?
Yeah, she's good. She's out there barbecuing.
Hey, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, and he's another one, too. Often imitated but never duplicated.
That's right.
Okay,
right.
Thanks, Bill.
Yes, brother.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen,
all
live
right.
From Fortaleza, Brazil, Professor William Madison Calhoun just joined us. Just one of the honorable figures and major components that moved both Brazil and the world. Had a classic line, you know, he used to work for Pan Am. I love the line he said, only the sun covers the world better than Pan Am. And there's nobody that covers Brazil better than he did. Does an integral part of my life as well as his beloved sister Tina. We were glad to shout at him. And we just want to thank him for joining us. All you people live out there across the country, across the world, William Madison, Professor William Madison, Bill Calhoun just gave us some wishes live from Fortaleza, Brazil, baby. The closest thing to heaven if you've been to Brazil. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, you know, fellas, I forgot because, you know, Brazil right now, it's New Year's. So, gentlemen, we were talking to the future. He was talking to the past. I kind of like that. Yeah, I think it was MJ or was it you, Big A, who came up with the big boxing questions that June was able to answer. I'm seeing if I can get anybody else from Brazil real quick while we're going here, gang. Go ahead, fellas. Keep coming.
So, Doc,
yeah.
I got a quick question for you.
All right, yeah,
now,
fellas.
Who are you taking, all right, at the forward position? Dr. J played guard, too, right, at one point?
Yeah. My first forward, the first guy that I pick as a forward is Elgin Baylor. The second guy is
right,
Dr.
Well,
J.
In terms of guard, right, are you taking Dr. J over Jordan? I'm just curious. And like, would you take Dr.
I'm gonna
J
tell
over
you something
Jordan?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. When Dr. J was Dr. J, he was superior to Michael Jordan. I'm going to tell you what a guy named Bert Flowers said on my show a few years back about Dr. J, who happens to have the same birthday. He said, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. J would have told Michael Jordan a brand new asshole. That's the exact quote. As far as I'm concerned, Dr. J would have told Michael Jordan a brand new asshole. You know, Jordan is some of the things that Dr. J was. It has hurt me tremendously to see my friend Julius Erving not be Dr. J. There were games where you saw Julius Erving being Dr. J, but the NBA only saw Dr. J twice. The first NBA All-Star game and an NBA Finals that year. After that, the Sixers messed it up. Okay, you saw Julius Erving at times do Dr. J-like things, which had to make you think, you know, when you saw that move underneath the basket against the L.A. Lakers, when you saw that dunk against the Lakers and Cooper, that was what was done nightly. You got nightly doses of Dr. J, okay? I remember Brian Taylor said, I always watch Julius because I know I'm going to see him do something I'll never see done again, okay? In tribute to Michael always says, I don't think I'm the greatest player of all time because I didn't play against the greatest players of all time. He said, but if he's all you saw, that's all you need to see. If Michael Jordan's all you saw, he's the greatest. If Michael Jordan's all you saw, he is the greatest. Okay? I got to go with that. No, you're not my age. You didn't see Oscar or Russell or Bird. Understand that. But if you do a little history, but as I learned the other day with the NBA starting their stuff at the 1990s, you ain't going to see Oscar. You ain't going to see Dr. J or Baylor or Pettit. Or Russell, or West, or Thurman, or Unsell, or Monroe, or Fraser, or Cousy, or Pistol Pete. You ain't going to see them. You ain't going to Google them. No? So you're going by what you're being told. It's Bird. It's Magic. It's Michael. You know, even some of the guys in there, nobody tells them about Clyde Drexler. What the hell will play Clyde Drexler? What about Hakeem Olajuwon? That name ring a bell? Yeah, so exposure has been a tremendous advantage for the players of today. You know what I mean? And but I remember Isaiah Thomas. I wonder if I had it here. Isaiah was talking about, man, if I could play today, man. You know what I mean? It's a guard game today. You ain't got to come down and worry about passing the ball to the guy in the middle. And you ain't got to worry about going down the middle because ain't nobody in the middle. You know what I mean? Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. We are closing in on our new year. And they already have a new year over in Brazil. I'm trying to call a couple of people. I got to get back. Big Ed's got to come back. Okay, I'm trying to call a couple of people over there. And
Doc.
Let me see. Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
It's Little Pete.
Peter, can you give me a call real quick? No. Who is she? Go ahead, Pete. Or is that you,
Doc,
A? Go ahead, A.
My phone died. My phone died, so I rejoined with another number.
Hey, okay. As long as you're here. As long as you're here. Dr. Stanley Sports, the Blog Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. It is our last show. And we're close to the new year here, too. It's already a new year over in Brazil. I'm trying to get a hold of some people here that I maybe could talk to, as it is already New Year's in Brazil. Let me see if I can get Tony Nunes on here real quick. Happy New Year to him. See if he says hello. Yeah, go ahead. No, I love you guys because you're great parents, great young men, and you ask us great questions to get me rocking and rolling, man. I can do a show daily with y'all. So I catch Tony Nunes. It's Happy New Year to him. He's one of the number one TV personalities in Brazil and Fortaleza. At 10 o'clock, I should have thought about this. It's almost 1 o'clock over there now.
Hey, Doc.
I thought they may be doing certain things to certain people. But, Tony's busy. Couldn't get a hold of Pete. I'll catch my man Chauncey.
Doc.
Come on, let the questions keep coming. Hey, Big A,
Doc,
understand.
Doc, going back to
the thing the other day with George hit me with something. If they're going to start NBA footage from the 1990s, man, like I said, you're not going to see the guys I'm talking about. You can't even make an assessment because you're not going to see them. Yeah, come on.
Going back to boxing. We were talking about Holyfield versus Tyson. So really think that Tyson would have won that fight if Holyfield – now, we talked about Holyfield, who he's beaten. Can you give me your insight of Holyfield as a fighter?
Hold on a second. I don't, Peter, but I would like to. Now, Holyfield, and I think we talked about that, Pete, and you got to quit. I love you, son. Holyfield is the black Rocky Marciano, okay? All the great fighters he fought were past their prime. Foreman, Tyson, okay? So, I mean, what great fighter did Holyfield beat? Larry Holmes, past his prime. Another guy, what great fighter did Larry Holmes fight? Huh? Okay? I finally saw that Holmes-Norton fight, and they were trying to screw Larry. Larry won that fight running away. He won a split decision, 1-point victory. And I'm saying, what fight were they watching? And I think a lot of it had to do because they had gave him the title. He didn't win the title in the ring. When Spinks turned him down And as a mandatory for Ali, they gave the title to Norton. And I think as I watched that fight in entirety, that they didn't see Kenny as the champion that he was perceived to be. And it showed in the scoring. We have a split decision, 142-141 Holmes, 142-141 Norton, and the winner, 142-141 And the new Larry won that fight going away. Next time I see Larry, I can tell him that too. Won that fight going away. And I just don't understand how. I guess they showed Norton some consideration as the champion, making the fight that close. But to me, that fight wasn't that close. Great champion. Evander's always been good to me. Always been good to me, man. And my thing is, we both have our devout and deep beliefs in God and the Son of God. But as a champion, great champion. Like Bernard Hopkins, great champion. Marvin Hagler, great champion. But they want great fighters, okay? You know what I mean? You can be a great hitter, but not a great player, okay? Holyfield never beat any great fight, and he exposed Riddick Bowe. The fact that Bowe even lost him one time. And the third fight, he was beating Bowe, but he threw his shoulder out, and then I was at that fight by the grace of God, so I saw that fight live, that last fight. But Holyfield, great champion, great person, but to me, the Black Rocky Marciano. All the great fighters he fought. Larry told me a funny story. He said, man, I couldn't beat Holyfield. So he's got that, he's got some kind of bounce. Larry called it a Puerto Rican bounce. You can't time him. And, yeah. But a great champion? Yes. One of the great fighters of his era? Yes. But, I, you know, what great fighter did he beat? You know? But like Larry, what great fighter did Larry Holmes beat? Yeah, I mean, you know. Well, we talked about earlier, when you talk about Ali, man, it hit me tonight. Ali beat the greatest fighters of his time. Both times. The first and second time. But the second time, no longer in his prime. Beat the greatest fighters of his era. Zorro Foley, Cleveland Big Cat Williams, Ernie Terrell, Sonny Liston twice, the first time. And then the second time, he beats Patterson again. He beats Ernie Shavers. He beats Joe Frazier 2 out of 3 times. He beats Kenny Norton 2 out of 3 times. He knocks out George Foreman. He beats Jimmy Young. He beats Jerry Corey again. He beat the greatest fighters of this time, past his prime. Again.
Doc, again. I'm going to call back on my number, okay?
Whatever number you want to call on, you've got, we're still on the air. We know we went a lot longer than I thought. Come on, fellas, I'm here. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, on Trusted Government Network. Let's play a little music real quick, and then we'll be back. We got a little time here. So one of my favorite songs by Yolanda Adams, Open Up My Heart. Everybody, don't move. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Government Network, live, our last show. From 2021, and then after that, we'll be done. Land Adams, please.
I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid. Afraid of disappointing you, so I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure. I'm not afraid to
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Let's go to the network. Let's see if I need the hoops, because I got Dusty here. I can go before. We're gonna jump into the music again. To do, we're going to say Happy New Year to you. In Portuguese.
Se você acha que você não ganhou presente esse ano, pensa de novo. Tem alguns presentes que a vida nos dá de graça e a gente nem percebe. Tipo o coração. Ele bate dentro do seu peito sem que você perceba, incansável, não pede nada em troca. Você tá tocando sua vida, preocupado com outras coisas, ele tá lá batendo de noite, de graça, por você. Vários presentes que a vida nos dá e a gente nem percebe. As coincidências da vida que nos apresentam pessoas que por alguma razão foram gentis com a gente. Gente que nos ajudou sem pedir nada em troca. Gente que talvez a gente nem agradeceu. Tem muitos presentes que a vida nos dá, de graça, como um ano novo. Quando a gente tá cansado, não aguenta mais aquele ano, quando a gente tá sem... E assim a gente percebe que não é o ano que é novo, é a gente. Feliz você novo.
Little something from Brazil. Dusty, glad you got on time because I had you got it back just in time because we got to you know, we couldn't come on back on, so you're back.
Yeah.
Just want you to say, got Lil Pete back. Is Lil Pete or Big A?
What is that?
No, no, I'm talking about I got the other guys. Is Lil Pete or Big A? Is it Big A, Lil Pete? Dusty, real quick, you called to say Happy New Year. You want to say anything to you? How's the family? Everybody's feeling well. I'm not going to hold you long, but I just want some thoughts here. We're moving toward Keith Thurman's coming back. We also hear that Spence is going to fight Ugas. Some thoughts on that, Dusty, Ugas and Spence.
Well, tomorrow he got a Team Congo of Thieves making his comeback against Charles Martin. That's mm-hmm. an elimination because the one who wins will win, will fight Tyson Fury. Those are the rumors. And Spence coming back, of course, he wants to get back in the groove, you know. And Keith Thurman, well, you know, he hasn't fought since Pacquiao blasted his ass. So he has to keep it in mind, you know, in the runnings. So, you know, it's a good move now because we have the hottest ticket in town. outside of Canelo Alvarez is the welterweights. There's a welterweight there that's undefeated. To me, I call him a welterweight Mike Tyson. He has about 23 odd fights, and I think he's 21 knockouts or something, and he's pretty good. He's sharp. But the fact of the matter is that the welterweight seems in that era. But then again, you got the middleweights are also that are scrambling for top dogs. You know, they want to fight each other. They don't want to fight each other. So I don't know what's going on, but the welterweights are moving back. You know, well, and I hope Spence comes back and see what he could do. I would like to see Spence and Crawford, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen at all. So that's the thing.
Well, you don't you don't think Spencer Crawford's going to happen? I mean, he's, one of the things that they kept saying the drawback to Spencer Crawford was him being with Top Rank. Now, I believe Crawford's left Top Rank, right, Dusty?
Well, there are rumors, boxing is like a rumor circle of old ladies, a nitty circle. Rumors. Spence got his biggest break when his father, Sean Porter's father, helped him get that knockout victory, which was undeserved. Sean Porter could have continued fighting, and he would have won the decision because he was ahead by points. But the fact of the matter is that Bob Arum has this continuous gripe against other promoters, but then the other promoters have their gripes against Bob Arum. This thing about Sean and Porter, I mean, not Sean and Porter, Spence and Crawford should have been done a long time ago. But now they're still debating whether they should fight or not. But I'm hopeful to clear up this mess. Because nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Pacquiao just said the other day, no, I'm not finished. I still got other mountains to climb. So I don't know what
that meant. Hold on, Dusty. Are you telling us that Manny Pacquiao will be back in the ring?
Well, he said, I have still a lot of unfinished business. He's going to run for president, but then he still has the eye on the prize of getting back into the ring. Whatever that means, you know, talk is cheap, you know, and the mule walks. So whatever happens, maybe that's just a bluff. But the fact of the matter is, he says, the only thing I know in my life is boxing. So that's basically what it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you've heard it here first. Where you get it first, where we also, that great line where we rope the rumors, lasso and hogtie the issues, and brand the truth. Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man, is not done.
Nope,
it's not done.
He said not done.
You know what? And I remember that great line, Dusty, that Larry Holmes told me. It's hard to stop doing.
I was just
going to
tell you that.
You know, it's hard to stop doing. I beat you to it, baby. Dusty, it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life, and people are going to pay you for it.
And they're going to pay you buku bucks for it, man. I mean, come on.
Hey, that's you. Larry didn't say buku.
But
yeah,
that's
the Big A.
I mean,
Big A, you
hard.
Still with us? I got another Big A repeat. We got another legendary boxing figure, Dusty Baby Lois. Yeah, and that man, you know, what a tremendous scoop to get here on the last day of 2021. And
yeah,
you know, as the last show, we've got. Hey, Dusty, I had a question, and I think you can answer. You know, we're taking at their best, Edgar Charles and Evander Holyfield.
I'm telling you, I would lean towards Edgar Charles.
Okay.
I don't care what Evander Charles, Holyfield would ever do. I mean, he can butt him, but Edgar Charles will finesse him and maybe even knock him out. That's my opinion.
Wow.
Edgar Charles, people don't know that Edgar Charles was not a slouch. He was a tough, hard-hitting heavyweight. He slowed down punching psychologically because before he came into the limelight, fighting Joe Louis and Judge Joe Walcott, he killed a guy in the ring, and he was
really
upset. In fact, look it up. He was going to quit, but he was
hold on.
Dusty,
you know what? That's amazing. Another first here. I knew that Sugar Ray had killed the guy in the ring, but Jersey Joe Walcott had killed the guy in the ring too, does he?
No, not Jersey Joe Walcott. Ezra Charles.
You know what? And Marion Boykin, ladies and gentlemen, lesson learned part two here, baby. And you know what? And I've heard Marion Boykin says, you know, when you lose a guy in the ring like that, you lose both of them. They're just never the same, which shows you the greatness of both Ezra Charles and Ray Robinson to constantly have to fight that obstacle along with the obstacle that they're having in the ring.
Well, the fact is that the toughest killing field sport, and you could coin that phrase, is boxing, because of the fact that when you are prepared to knock the dude unconscious by every means possible, according to the Queen Marquis Queensberry rule, okay, above the belt, in the body, in the head, as often as you can until the dude is finished. I mean, you don't do that in football, even though that happens. You don't do that in baseball. There are injuries. You don't do that in track and field or even wrestling. But the code of the West in boxing is to knock that dude unconscious, man, before he does it to you. Look at Deontay Wilder. He said, no, I'm going to leave my shield in the ring. That's suicide, but that's the way it is, man.
Another perspective of a mindset that's rarely acknowledged and so much unacknowledged, Dusty. Doc Stanley Sports and that Blog Talk Radio Trust and Guard Network is the last night of 2021. Big A, Little Pete, MJ, Dusty, Junebug here. It's already 2022 in Brazil. I'm trying to make a couple of calls to how to speak with there.
2022 in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, 2022 in Puerto Rico, another lesson learned. Yeah. And, you know, so often I would be in Brazil this time of the year, but once again, and I could probably can do this, ladies and gentlemen, because I haven't been in a while, I'm going to ask all our listeners out there to keep my beloved mother, Vivian Pauline Howard Stanley Sr., in prayer. Stanley. She will receive her 93rd birthday next month, big month. And my family, my beloved mother, first grandson, the 25th, my first daughter, the second, the birthday of my friend, my three friends, and great heavyweight champions, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, and George Foreman, as well as Bernard Hopkins, who's born on the same day as the great Dr. King, and Buddy McGirt, and Muhammad Ali, and the last day of the month is Jackie Robinson. So my mother can make it to the 21st, and we're just so glad that she made it to Christmas. As my dad, we celebrated the 48th anniversary memorial of his passing on the 23rd of this month. And it was diagnosed, my mother, a couple years ago, dementia, but she went into the hospital early part of November and coming out. She's now in hospice state, which I said without question I had to be here for my mother and my family at this time of the year, and we're asking that all y'all could hold my family as well as all the other families here in prayer, and we know that, God's in control and God has a plan. My mother's 92, almost 93.
That's right, and January 24th is my birthday, so we're neck and neck.
Dusty, I was getting to that, if you wouldn't keep jumping the gun here. that's right, Dusty. Dusty, and you know why I remember your birthday, besides it being your birthday, it is Willie Mays' number, and it's Jackie Robinson's
Willie
number
Mays,
backwards.
Yep.
I asked Willie Mays,
24.
Did you ever realize that your number is Jackie Robinson's number backwards? He said, no. They said, Willie says, every time I reach into my pocket, I think about Jackie Robinson because of the money that Jackie put in. Everybody's fucking January 31st. Jackie's yours, and you, because you the day before my grandson, my first grandson, Tariq, is the 25th. And, Kelly Swanson's birthday is in January, too, Dusty. The first dominant female PR lady, Mayweather's PR lady, and used to work for Rock Newman and Butch Lewis. Yeah, Kelly Swanson's birthday.
And like I said, my daughter, Doc Sandy's Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. I'm trying to make some calls to Brazil so people say hi to them, but we got Dusty here. And as always, you know, the education, man, the Ezra Charles, and the fact, you know, that the rules are, is killed. You know, it's like being thrown in the Coliseum, man. You know, those fights, man, you know, it's only one person supposed to come out alive. Dusty,
yeah.
We looking at the prospect of, you know, you said Manny coming back. We got Keith Thurman. Canelo seems to be constantly elevating to the next class and getting those titles, but he seems to be handpicking the weakest links in those divisions.
Well, in a sense, that's a very smart move. But you see, you said something that I didn't agree some time ago that who mm-hmm. has he fought to get to where he's at? But he actually has fought undefeated world champions that were physically bigger than him. But maybe, Doc, and this is the key, maybe not in the class of ferocity that he's in. So very astute, William Boy Saunders, Caleb Plant, that Armenian that was undefeated and was a super middleweight champion, then he makes you worry and wonder, is he insane? Because he jumped from super middleweight to challenge Kovalev. I said, my God, Kovalev is going to kill him. Guess what? He destroyed Kovalev. And then he went back down and fought Caleb Plant. Now he maybe announced that he's picking it right. You're right, he's picking and choosing opponents because he has this. Now he's going up to the cruiserweights. Some African with a record of about 35 fights, only two losses, and maybe about 16 knockouts, who's a cruiserweight champion. Canelo already picked him to fight in May, Cinco de Mayo, Mexican Independence Day. And the guy says, this guy, this mother, he picks on me because I'm a foreigner. And he thinks he can beat me, I'm going to kill his ass. But, you know, dollars to donuts that you know that Canelo knows what he's doing. And Canelo knows if he has 35 fights, he must have fought 35 tomato cans. And he's a world champ. Of course I'm going to challenge him because he has a title that I know that I could win. But, you know, but the amazing thing with Canelo, that's why I got to give him all the props. Canelo's only 5'8". Okay? He gives away height, reach, sometimes weight. Okay? And he meets that challenge. People say, well, no, but the guy knows what he's doing. Of course. And if he beats this guy for the cruiserweight title, my Lord, what has he done? Welterweight, junior middleweight, middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, and cruiserweight. You know, and then he was told, but what about Dimitri Bivol, the light heavyweight champ of the world recognized. I said, well, I got him in my sights, but not him now. I'm going to do something else. And then I'll challenge him. That'll be a great fight, but Dimitri Bivol is not a pushover. It's not a slouch. Okay, so that's why he's saying, yeah, I'll be a good challenge, but he has him in the background because he knows that Bivol is not a slouch. Yeah, so that's the thing. But I gotta give him credit. The man is making money. He has his own vintage horse stable. $500,000 is the cheapest horse. He owns a part of Hennessy. He has a clothing line, a Canelo promotion, in addition to the $365 million from Ed Hearns. He dumped Ed Hearns. He has his own promotion company, but Ed Hearns co-promotes with him. So they're both making money. So Canelo is a walking boxing enterprise.
Hold on, Dusty. Exactly, you know what? He's doing. I'm going to see if I can go to Puerto Rico and get Juan Laporte to join us here. So don't go. Yeah, my buddy Juan. And maybe because you said it's Happy New Year in Puerto Rico. First Puerto Rican to win the featherweight championship of the world, too.
Yep.
So let's hold on a second.
Yeah. Be good to have him. Longtime friend.
Yeah.
That's a guy. Remember, he used to ride a red Porsche.
A red Porsche or something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, but it was a red car, a flashy car.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Porsche. I remember red Porsche used to ride, man. And as I learned, a lot of the athletes and stuff, they didn't buy them, as they leased them. You know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. they had the option to buy. Let me see if I can get one again. Yeah. See, because I thought for so many times that they were buying, but they weren't buying as they were leasing. You know what I mean? And
because
the Simon used to do that. He would lease a Jaguar for 2 or 3 years. Hey, Juan, what's up?
How you doing, Stanley?
Hey, happy day. It's New Year in Puerto Rico now, right?
Yep, New Year's in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, it's New Year's in Puerto Rico now, right?
Yeah, it just passed, yeah.
Yeah, I got my friend from Puerto Rico. He was telling me, yeah, I just wanted to say Happy New Year to, I'm doing my show, I wanted to say Happy New Year to the first Puerto Rican to win the Featherweight Championship of the World, one of the great fighters of our time. And I remember, Juan, when you fought Chavez, and it was a close fight, and I remember in the dressing room, Dusty, I was there, and they told Chavez, it was the closest decision. They said, what about had they gave the decision to Laporte? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, I wouldn't have argued.
Yep,
I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you knew that. They asked Laporte, they asked Chavez, it was a close fight. So what about the fight went the other way? I wouldn't have argued
because I think he knew he got slapped around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Connection.
Okay, yeah, don't worry. Yes, I just wanted to say Happy New Year. I want the people to hear your voice. The first Puerto Rican to win the featherweight champion of the world. Longtime friend. The man who had that red Porsche, baby.
Why not put this?
Okay, take care, Juan.
And a Happy New Year.
Did you hear him? So tell him, Dusty.
Well, aporte que Dios te bendiga siempre. Feliz año nuevo con la familia. Y salud siempre. Y prosperidad. Y te adoramos todavía. El campeón
Hold
de
on,
nosotros.
You got to come back, Dusty. I think we lost him. Okay, but that's good, though. Okay, you know what? Now we're going to do here. Okay, I'm going to say it to him. Hold on. Okay, Dusty, say it to him again now. Go ahead.
Juan Laporte, nuestro campeón aquí para siempre, desde del principio hasta ahora, y que Dios te bendiga siempre. Un año nuevo, 2022, para todos saludables, y que todos podemos estar en buena salud para siempre. Gracias y te adoramos, y gracias por todas sus victorias.
Good. Now Dustin, he'll say, damn, I didn't know Stanley should speak Spanish that good. Go ahead, little Pete.
Hey.
Is this Pete or Big A?
What do you call the way, man? Don't you ever forget that.
Who's this, Pete or Big A?
It's Big A. I was just letting you know that I got to run, but as always, it was good being on here. Good to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, Big A, you got a last question, or you just want to say Happy New Year, everybody, for us?
Yeah, everyone, Happy New Year. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're part of the family. As I say, you got the new phone, so send me your WhatsApp stuff on me again so I can keep sending you stuff, all right?
For sure.
Thanks, Big A.
All right, Doc. Enjoy.
Okay, love you, son. Take care. Doc Staley, that's my little crew, little Pete, Big A, and MJ, my upstate connection. Dang, that's the, wow, there's just a lot of, it's just, it's so much information with you, man. The Ezra Charles thing, that's something that's not, they always talk about the guy that Ray Robinson happened to, but, very few times, just for, ever heard about Ezra Charles, you know what I mean?
Right, it's very quiet, and that's another thing, people don't mention the fact that Rocky Marciano also injured a dude that had to quit boxing, and very quietly, he would help him financially because the guy was finished. I mean,
what a great story and a great side of Rocky being a great champion in the game of life. Because I read, he said, once he started making money, he told his dad, that's it, you ain't working no more.
You know?
Exactly.
You ain't working no more. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of athletes do that, you know, because of the kind of money they were making.
They're making.
And the kind of money their parents were making. Yeah. The kind of clout your money could do for you then that it can't now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And also, there wasn't that many taxes. Hey, Dr. Yo, how you been feeling?
Yeah.
You know, you've been having some doctor visits. Everything okay? You feeling all right?
Oh yeah, no, I'm fine. It's called a cold. The cold is going and coming here, but I'm fine with the cold. That will
okay,
it, you know?
Okay. Just making sure you're all right. Just making sure you're all right,
yeah,
man.
But, you know, you see, the thing is that everybody, if they feel bad, corona, pandemic, you know, because this is the world that we live in. I mean, anything that goes wrong is we got that shadow of this disease going on, you know. That could have been tackled and lifted in control in the previous administration, but they jerked off in space with it, and of course,
you know, Dusty, you come on, where we agree on that. I said, you know, it's how nobody's pointing the finger at the fiasco and the bullshit that was allowed by the Trump administration. And I tell people what you said, you know, Obama left in place a pamphlet. He left in place a committee.
79-page manual.
The people to circumvent this. And it's just, you know, had this been under the Obama administration, we would have never heard of the failure and insufficient methods that should have been put into place. And yet, you know, this guy fucked everything up, you know.
No.
And the thing was, you know, had Trump listened to what Obama told him, he would have circumvented the virus, he would have got reelected, he'd have got a Nobel Peace Prize, and with all of that, he could have implemented some nonsense to run a third term. You know, and I got to tell everybody, you know, sports and death sometimes turns into the world in death, and that's where we're going now. And it's just remarkable to me, as Marion Brookins says, that, you know, nobody continues or reiterates the failures of the previous administration, because all the positivity was implemented by, you know, the Obama administration, but nobody talks about how this guy, for all intents and purposes, and for lack of a better word, fucked things up.
The criminality, the racism, let me tell you something. He's turned this country, Trump that is, into a leper colony. That's what it is. I mean, you've heard of the disease leprosy where people in ancient times were sent to some land, foreign land, to die. That's exactly what he's done. Almost a million people have died this corona and now the Omicron and Delta variants and all that nonsense. I mean, my God, when you talk about the worst flu years ago in the early 30s was the Spanish flu. Of four flus, the worst one was the Spanish flu. That Spanish flu killed over 14,000 people, 500 people worldwide. But when you compare now that over 14,000 people are dying in a week because of the disease, because of the criminal neglect. I mean, come on. The fact of the matter is, this is my opinion, is that he didn't want to take directions from a black dude.
You were very political. You were very articulate. You were showing class and demeanor. He did not want to take words of directions. I'll say it. It's my show, from a nigga.
Yeah,
you can go
exactly.
From there. I got you.
Exactly. Obama left him that 79-page manual that they discovered the impending thing. And he also advised them, upgrade the CDC with Dr. Fauci and all the people, and more people. He defunded that freaking agency and disregarded the freaking manual. And then he says, there's nothing. Take Lysol or take insecticide. That'll cure you. Do you know that over 100 folks, stupid, followed his direction? 30 died, and 6 were in critical condition. I mean, can you imagine that? Take Lysol.
That's another thing, too, ladies and gentlemen. You never heard anyplace else. You heard it here for, we told you, when Obama took down Bin Laden. And Dusty just told you, you never heard it before, right? The number of people who took it, you haven't heard it. And I remember when he went to the hospital, they sent me a video where a guy said, you know, they're saying, well, you know, the president is sick and we should all be concerned and we all should pray for him. He said, but when they had the fires out West Coast, he said, let them burn. He said, you know, the old people, they're going to die anyway. And he said, as far as the president, he said, fuck them. He didn't care about nobody else. And now that he's sick, he's getting the best possible help in the world. Okay?
Yes,
like you
exactly.
said, he let everybody else down a dark end. And when he got it, he had the best possible help in the world, you know, to circumvent his problem that he led so many people to. And Dusty, man, you look at the people from the insurrection, a lot of those now who followed him down there, and Dusty,
yeah.
they're going to jail, and he ain't.
Untouchable. And the thing is that then he recriminates our soldiers. Is that those soldiers who were injured and killed in wars, he called them suckers and losers. And he's a five-time draft dodger. So, what are we talking about, man? I mean, and this dude is riding high. People are making donations to his comeback in 2024. Can you imagine that? So, you know, but anyway, I'm gonna end the year with that, and I'm gonna start a new year and try to hope that Biden and Kamala Harris clean up this mess, because they're having a difficult time because of the way everything was messed up. And of course the Donald Trump gang still fighting them, but maybe
now, Dusty, come on, Dusty. Hey, Dusty, he made America great again.
Who?
Hey, that's what I'm saying too, Dusty. Who?
let me tell you something. That remark, that statement, make America great again. First of all, the architect who started that phrase was Ronald Reagan, another piece of crap, okay? Years ago, he stole that from Ronald Reagan. That's number one. His intentions, meaning Trump, when he coined that phrase, he very astutely left out one word. Can you guess what that word was? Make America great again. Okay, if you play coy, I'll tell you. The real phrase was make white America great again. He was building and creating what Hitler did, the master race of white folks. And that's exactly what the heck you got to understand.
My goodness, you know, man, it just never changed. Dusty, tell me, what do you think of when you hear this?
Hold on.
It's coming. Should be a plane. Oh, where's it at now?
Hey, Leroy.
What?
Your mama. She's calling you, man.
Well, classics are back in the day, huh, Dusty?
Oh, shit. That's a long time.
Yeah, 1966. Jimmy Cass and the Caster Bunch. Hey, Leroy, your mama's calling
you. Exactly. Your mama's calling you. Oh, my Lord. But anyway, let's hope we can start the new year with something clean. I know Biden is in the right direction. He's made some mistakes, but he's correcting them. And see what the hell happens. And mind you, just like any rookie ball player, this is his first year as president. They got three more years to go. So maybe by this time, things will begin to mellow and settle down and see what happens, man.
Okay, that's it. I know you're going to leave, man, but I didn't want to do an end of the year show and not have you with your wisdom and my co-host and what you bring to the show. At the same time, just want to thank you for all your prayers and support, what you've done for our family. That's the Latin side and the black side, what you've done for our family here on the radio show. And I'm hold on, Dusty. I'm reading this off exactly the way you wrote it. Now, okay. And all of you done. Love you, man. Want to tell you
okay.
that.
Yes.
And you know, Dusty, man. Every now and then, I get a flashback, and I hear this music, and I think it's late night from SAR. FM radio, the heartbeat of
Africa,
and the heartbeat of Harlem, and the
heartbeat
of New
Harlem,
York.
Under the shadow of the Apollo.
Man, Dusty, man, we had some shows up there, man.
We rocked, man, we rocked. I know.
And the beauty, yeah. And when your Latin shows are so great because when they had a Latin boxing press conference, I called you, man.
Yep.
Often imitated and never duplicated. Okay, I know you got it. Yeah. Dusty, tell everybody Happy New Year and good night in Spanish for us, please.
I will. Feliz año nuevo y próspero año nuevo para todo el mundo en el mundo y que se termine esta pandemia, esta epidemia para vivir mejor. God bless everybody. Take care. Okay, Doc, I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Dusty, love
care.
You, baby. Sam
okay, Cook
tells us why we're here.
Take care. Say,
okay,
say hello to mom. Yeah, come back.
God, so birthday we celebrated
wonderful,
was from the wonderful God's wonderful Son.
God,
reason why gotten this far through this condition is because the wonderful God.
He's so wonderful.
Woke up this morning, tools on our back, food on the table, shoes on our feet.
The Lord is my shepherd, he's my guide.
Good.
Whatever I need, the Lord
will go
back and pray.
Dusty.
My Lord's name, I know he's so wonderful.
He's wonderful. He's live from Puerto Rico.
And whoa, he's wonderful.
William Calhoun.
And I really believe the Lord is wonderful. Yes, he is. And whoa, he's wonderful. I know.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa. If you never tried God, try the Lord one day and see what my Father come down and make a way. And whoa, and oh, I can't help but love God. He's so wonderful. And whoa, and oh, he's a yes, he is. Just the whoa, whoa, he's wonderful. I know the Lord, he's so wonderful. Whoa, Lord, whoa, whoa, he's been my mother, been my father too. There's no limit to what my Lord can do. And whoa, and oh, whoa, I love God, he's so you're mine.
Yes, I know all there is to ever know, where you've been and where you'll ever go. All your mistakes from yesterday and the ones you'll make tomorrow. You've been trying so hard to comprehend what kind of love could cover all that sin. Just know there's nothing you could ever do that would ever, ever, ever change my love for you. Don't ask me why. Don't wonder how. Don't bother asking how it's possible to love someone like you. It's 'cause you're mine. It's 'cause you're you. It's 'cause I'm loved. It's what I do.
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Last prayer of the year, December 31st, 2021. Heavenly Father, I come before you today praising your holy name. Lord, thank you for bringing me this far. We are now in the last day of the year. Thank you for the gift of life and for being so good to me throughout the year. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Cleanse me and change my life. Lord, my only request to you this morning is to bless my family and friends and protect them always. Strengthen their faith. Let them live in contentment with joy in their hearts. In Jesus' name, the Lord. Amen. I want to thank Ray Haskins for that. Ray is, I'm going to tell you a story about Ray, but I want to also get this in that Marianne Borkin always says, and I like to use that as part of a closing too here. And so a classic line that he has from his renowned radio show, Boykin, please.
This is Marianne Boykin from the Southpaw position.
always let the better man in you emerge victorious, because I will.
Enough said. One of the few friends I've had in life. Raymond Haskins, his brother Calvin was the greatest catcher in the United Action Little League on the Lincoln Pennies. It's a Friday night, and my beloved mother Vivian says to me as I'm watching TV, she said, if you go to bed right now, you'll hit a home run tomorrow. On Friday, you like to watch TV a little late because, you know, we're at school. So I hopped in the bed. I got in the bed. I said, Mommy, there. I got to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom real quick? She said, hurry up. And I got up, went to the bathroom. First time up, Clifford Scott. And my Uncle Wallace always told me, you make adjustments in the batter's box. And a curveball pitcher, you stand up a little closer to the box to catch the curve before it came. Crack! Home run. Next time up, crack! Actually, it's another home run. The first baseman tripped me, and one of my teammates got in my way. But I slid and got a triple, tied the game. And as I'm standing there, Raymond Haskins is dusting me off. And Raymond says, next week I'm going to bed early. And the next week he did. He hit home run the first time up. Clifford Scott, I enjoyed a lifetime 4-for-5 batting average against him. We played him and beat him for the championship, and they played me so deep I hit another ball so long, but it was a single. And then the next time up, I hit a double, hit the cycle against him, tried to steal third base and ended the game for us, but we won the championship. Raymond Haskins, one of the great coaches, should be coaching someplace in college basketball. Took LIU, closing minutes here to 2021 here, to the NCAA championship. And Leroy Stan, Leroy, no. Well, it was, man, I can't think of his, he used to play for the Packers in Eli. Eli had us on WFAN. Great friend of ours and a great friend of, even greater friend to Raymond. And he had me and Marion on the fan with him. He's passed on some time, played for Vince Lombardi and the OAFL. Just some memories here as we close out 2021. I think I'm going to just try to hang in there and see if I can make it. And in doing so, we heard from Marion. Let Larry Hardesty close me out, so we'll already be there and play some music until we get there. Thanks a lot. I really like Little Pete and them because, wow, I wouldn't even thought about doing this show. But, you know, they called. They asked great questions. Hope I give some good answers.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night. And we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
With that, let's do this for the last time. SID, Happy New Year. Us and God. Sports in Depth with Dr. Emily Doc Stanley Sr. and his Sports Posse members, Dusty, those Sports Posse members, Lou Pete, Big A, MJ, and also on the last show and night of 2021, we too thank God have Latin side of Boykin on Boxing with Roberto June, TKO, top college outstanding Ortiz in boxing. SID is an in-depth informative educational talk, a look at the world of sports on this renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Advising from both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also of an in-depth look and perspective not only on the sports of our times, but to the players and performers of the said times, events, both now and yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a. SID, also brings us a unique strategy of sports from an entry-level perspective, not just athletics, because as it takes broad, God-given talent and conditioning, it too takes a blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, and a belief of competing, accomplishing too. With in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect, a God box, iconic posse, Sports in Depth is to the world in depth. Thanks for joining us once again, where we always rope the rumors, talk to the issues, and the truth. We too thank Professor William Madison Calhoun Jr. joining us from Fortaleza, Brazil, the first Puerto Rican to win the featherweight championship of the world, Juan Laporte. Three thoughts. Ice most persistent urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The King. Service to others is an energy pay in room here on earth, Muhammad Ali. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente, my brother's coming all colors. Nelson Mandela. Then as Dr. King says, forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. Die hard as you like this one. If you like today, I have to stand before God tomorrow. I simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. Now we'll play some music trying to get us to 2022.
Children today.
Children
really gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living, oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Beloved Mother Vivian, in prayer, as she is now in hospice.
I was walking down the street in a little old country town. I saw a rusty penny half buried in the ground. As I reached down to pick it up, I saw beneath the rust these words, just barely visible, "In God we trust." I held it for a moment. Then suddenly I knew what God, in all his wisdom, would have me say and do. He used this worthless penny to make me understand that life is not worth living without the Master's hand.
Oh, in God we trust, in God we trust, we're lost just like this penny, unless in God we trust.
And then I heard a still small voice within me whisper, very clear, "Be still and know that I am God, and I'm always near. When all your dreams come tumbling down around you in the dust, remember this lost penny and place in me your trust."
Oh, in God we trust, in God. God we trust, oh, in
Accidentally sportsing their blog talk radio and trusting God network. We say Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there. Thank you for being with us here on this blessed and special occasion. And I thank my co-hosts, Gilberto, Junebug Ortiz, and Dusty Baby Lois, and my little posse members, MJ, Big A, and Lil Pete. Thank you, Professor William Madison Calhoun, for joining us from Fort Lazy with your beloved wife, Marcia Lee, my family there. I can say something about William and June. I can say about Marion, who closed out. I remember Walt Frazier said this about his manager then. And I say this about them. I love them as much as one man can love another. They've been to me a friend and a brother, like no other. Bless my beloved family. Keep my mother in prayer. Now she's 20 days from her 93rd birthday. My beloved brother James. I always said I was blessed to have a brother not only like James, but named James, like Jesus' brother. My sister Helen, my sister Teresa, and my family in Virginia, my family here. Doc Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio and Trust in God Radio Network. It's 2022. So I gave you my last show in 2021, and part of my first show in 2022. That makes me quite a switch hitter. Doc Stanley, Sports and Deb, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and God Radio Network. We pray that from Volta Redonia, man, we haven't heard from her in a long time, and we just hope that, man, Rosie and her family is well there. We thank you all for joining us. 2022 is here. May God bless and keep you and your families. Once again, thanks for being with us here on Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio, Private Network. John Coltrane, everybody, gentlemen, you hear Miles Davis, closes us out. But, dear Lord.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And I was just thinking that maybe what we'll do, I should have thought about it. Oh, man. Damn. That could not have ended any better. God damn, it couldn't have ended any better. Can you believe that? Man. Wow, we couldn't have done any better. Oh, I gotta put that sucker in. Damn shit. DG.
Must stay in school, and here's how it can happen.
So in the case where one of the classmates tests positive, everybody can take a test kit home in their backpack, come back the next day if they have a negative test, they get tested again in a couple of days.
Kevin Garcia, the director of state operations, says masks are on the way.
We have over 37 million tests that we have ordered. 5.5
for the spring SUNY and CUNY classes. All college students not only must be vaccinated, but they must be boosted. Carol Nori, attention, meeting.
Many years he's tragedy on Staten Island, where a father allegedly shot his adult son on Bay Street. Stephanie Scarborough Avenue in Shore Acres. Medics rushed the 29-year-old victim, who had a gunshot wound to the chest.
What's up? Okay, you all right? Okay.
Yeah, we good. You all right? We good, Dio. Being 2022, who wouldn't be all right, huh?
What's that?
Being 2022, who wouldn't be all right? Let me see if Jim picks up.
Okay. All right. Shout out, y'all. Love you. Today, there's also... Also, don't forget, it's Demi's anniversary, too, today. Well, have another drink for me. Thanks a lot. All right, damn.
Okay.
Available 24 hours a day to help. Is your suspended license preventing you from employment opportunities? Attorney Seth Katz and his team of professionals may be able to get you driving again. Call Attorney Seth Katz at 212-747-0606. 212-747-0606. So the next time a cop knocks on your window, tell him who your lawyer is. Seth Katz and KatzLawyersNY.com. 212-747-0606. 212-747-0606. All credit cards accepted. Call 24 hours a day. As you age, it's important for you to maintain your independence. But you can't do it all like you want to. And in the digital world, it's easy to forget things like paying an important bill. That's where Silverbill is now. Just dial 1-855-590-4353 to learn more about our unique service that will work with you and take over the tedious task of paying your bill. Silverbill provides a dedicated U.S.-based professional account manager who will receive, scrutinize, to make sure bills are paid on time and correctly. You'll always reach a live person, so there's no need to have a computer background or be tech savvy. We're fully insured, recommended by AARP, and have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. So you'll have more time for quality visits and less time for stress and worry. Peace of mind is just a phone call away. Call Silverbill now at 1-855-590-4353 to receive 1 month of service free. 1-855-590-4353. Take the worry out of your life and call now. 1-855-590-4353.
Quiz news time, 12:11, time for traffic and transit on the ones. And let's say good morning now to, good morning and happy new year to Jeff Jensen. Happy new year to you, Mitch, and some slow traffic in Queens. Happy new year to all the listeners, to all the two callers who call me during the year. I thank you. Sometimes I thank you at 5 in the morning, but it's great. I thank you now because we'll be sleeping in. And my regulars are probably on vacation anyway, but either way, slowdowns on the B2A approaching the statue, so Rich might have a problem there. Going from Queens into Brooklyn. Accident on the FDR. Most of it gone. But still some activity southbound at Avenue C, but the south of 14th Street there, right around 14th. And on the west side, things are good. Pushing out of the frozen zone into town. The party to disperse, and then they have to do the cleanup. So avoid mid-south where some roads are altered as a result for now. And we get a pretty good ride waiting for you at the Lincoln, Holland, and the George Washington Bridge. No big issues on Long Island. The LIA, the northern state, and southern. The Monsall Parkway is all moving along very nicely with no delays at all. And alternate side parking was suspended again on Saturday. Don't proceed the meters. I'm Jeff Jensen. Our next report is 12:21 on 1010 Winds. Here's your AccuWeather 4-day forecast from Carl Bubinski, and we wish him as well a very happy new year. Thanks for all his good work this new year. Huh?
Well, thank you, Mitch, and happy new year. It is still cloudy in 51. Basically making my job a bit easier, same the glass view, right? 51 degrees at 11 p.m., now 51 at midnight. Fog and drizzle out there, and we think that later on this morning after 4 or 5 a.m., even a bit of steadier rain will move into the city. Temperatures at daybreak mostly in the upper 40s. A very mild New Year's Day coming up. Highs will be in the mid-50s, but there will be additional periods of rain and some drizzle. I think the steadiest rain overall, area-wide, will occur this afternoon and early tonight. And then as rain lets up and tapers to some drizzle, we'll be in the low 50s on Saturday night. Sunday, another mild day with a period or two of rain. Sunday will be in the mid-50s, but it'll start to turn sharply colder Sunday night. Actually, with the real field temperature dropping into the teens, as it actually drops down to about 30 early Monday morning. Temperatures Monday headed virtually nowhere. We'll be in the low 30s, not far from 33, with real fields in the teens and 20s. So prepare for colder weather. So it is January after all, but I think by midweek we'll be back.